about.
Are you ready?
Yes.
No, babe. Are you ready?
Yes.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
The hippie, the hippie to the hip, hip hop. You don't stop the rocket to the bang, bang. Boogie say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie, the beat.
I just don't know how I tell the kid not to do drugs when I do drugs. I'll feel like a hypocrite.
Well, remember what I told you when you were a teenager?
What did you say?
I said no pills, no powders.
That's right, that's right.
If it grows in the ground, it's probably okay.
I mean, I guess it worked. Like, you told me not to smoke pot all those years, and then I found out you were smoking pot that whole time.
Not the whole time, just in the evenings and all day every weekend. Not that much.
What is kale? Is that fish?
The customers love Kevin.
I think it's because he's a good listener. Most words are new to him, so it's all still fascinating.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yes, I do respect wool.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over. Roll another one.
I can't trust Obama. He's an Arab.
Just like the other one.
Really?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Why can't people marry dogs?
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
This is not a very good talk.
Roll another one.
Oh, hi. Did you want to buy some drugs?
Just like the other one.
Now it's time to get super duper high.
This one seems to be about to end.
Whip it real good.
I don't have another cent.
I like it. I like it. It's a hit. I think I'll keep watching it.
Banned by the FCC.
Just pass it around.
I would think, you know, for $80, just the tip.
Well, don't hold up that joint, my friend.
That's right.
Well, just pass it on down.
And now.
Hi, it's Lisa. I am going to be drinking a lot in the next few weeks because, you know, this time of year, things get crazy.
Our feature presentation.
Really? All times of year for Lisa.
Well,
when it
yeah.
comes to drinking.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's be honest.
Sometimes I have to just dry out for a while.
Morning, everybody. It's all new Kevin DeMicho. It's Friday. It is the 22nd of August.
Friday is that magic word we've been waiting to hear. It's finally here, kids.
Yes.
Woo! Woo-hoo! Chip's going to Las Vegas, putting down some money. How much you plan on putting down on your Cardinals, Kevin?
Well, since it's a lock, I'm going to give her probably $1,000.
I mean, the Cardinals, they've got to be so the favorites that you're going to, if you put $1,000 down, you may only win $200, but at least you win something, right?
Because it's so guaranteed, favorite. But it's not going to be very big. But
okay.
$20 probably.
Yeah. Look, what's the downside? There's no downside. Look, the Dolphins aren't going to win the Super Bowl, but what if they do?
Right, but they're
That's
not
how
going
she's
to.
Got, but if they do, though.
Right.
There are surprises. There are occasionally teams that come along that nobody expects are going to be as good as they end up being.
They start off
crappy, even lose the first four games, but then somehow they catch fire, make the playoffs, and then once it's in the playoffs, new season.
I put money on the Kings to win the Stanley Cup before the season started. You remember that was like
that's right,
yeah.
5 years ago or so?
Yeah.
4 years ago?
Exactly.
And they ended up doing it. It was like, what the hell? How's this possible?
It's very exciting.
So we're
very
all putting exciting. In our orders for how much money
exactly.
we need and what team and the whole deal.
I love it. Hey, before we get started on today's On the Kevin and Bean Show, the Bible, right?
Right.
Right. Good point.
I am fascinated with the Bible. I think I don't believe that it is the literal word of God, but I do think it's the greatest book ever written. I think it's a fascinating document. I think that a lot of things that are in the Bible are real about real people. I mean, we know for a fact that a lot of the people, you know, described in the Bible are real people. Jesus, for instance, real person. I think there was a flood, for instance. I don't think Noah gathered up animals on the ark to save them from that flood?
Two of each, Bean.
That's what they say. Oh. You go out and try catching two mosquitoes and see how that goes. Yeah, keep them alive and not flying away on a boat. But that's why I thought this story was so interesting. And I want to thank our friend Joe Rogan for tweeting this out. An Israeli professor of cognitive philosophy. How's that for a job, by the way? How could he be more different than we are?
No kidding.
He wrote a piece in the British journal Time and Mind, which you probably still subscribe to, Kevin, who claims that Moses was probably on psychedelic drugs when he received the Ten Commandments from God. This is his theory. Assertions giving a whole new meaning to Moses being high on Mount Sinai. He says that two naturally existing plants in the Sinai Peninsula have the same psychoactive components as ones found in the Amazon jungle and are well known for their mind-altering capabilities. As far as Moses on Mount Sinai is concerned, it was either a supernatural cosmic event, which I don't believe, quoting now from the professor, or a legend, which I don't believe either, or finally, and this is very probable, an event that joined Moses and the people of Israel under the effects of narcotics. The description in the book of Exodus of thunder, lightning, and a blaring trumpet, according to the man, are classic imaginings of people under the influences of drugs, as was the burning bush. That was obviously a drug-fueled hallucination. The seeing of light is accompanied by profound religious and spiritual feelings. He said, by the way, that in the Amazon in 1991, he took this same combination of drugs and experienced visions himself and had spiritual religious connotations. Which may have had some, one of the reasons why he thought maybe this theory might work for Moses, too, because he felt some of the same things that Moses did.
It's weird to see people jump from, I'm not positive what the answer is, to, it must be, you know, infallible word of God, or, you know, in the terrorist, you know, situation, or UFOs, you go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no, it's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
Well,
we probably
never will know the answer to this. But he is just throwing it out there as another theory. Maybe it is God, but maybe it's drugs. In case you're wondering, the initial reaction has not been supportive from Israel's religiously orthodox community, and the powerful rabbis who lead it was less than enthusiastic
not a surprise.
A little something to think about, and it's very clear why Joe Rogan would find this article attractive as well, too,
sure.
By the way, because he's big into what the psychotropic family of drugs can do to your mind. But wouldn't that be just be crazy, though, if so many of these stories that we've learned our whole lives for thousands of years were just people just tripping balls?
Yes, it would be amazing. We'd have to rename the Bible Tripping Balls.
Exactly. So good
that.
Times.
All right, let's talk about this morning's Kevin and Micho, shall we?
That sounds like a terrible idea.
Harley from Epic Mealtime is going to be here.
Love him.
Always fascinating. Love him, too. We are going to talk to Tim and Eric about Adult Swim. Love them as well.
God, they're honked up.
They are. We have a movie beat because it's Friday. We have Thanks for That Tweet, Bean.
Yes, of course.
Comes around very often and seems to be coming around more often than before. I think it's increasing, so we're going to do this pretty much every day starting soon. And Rob Zombie!
Always fascinating.
In studio, talking about several different things, including a Johnny Ramone charity. So, tribute and charity. So that's coming up. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next. It's world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52. Time for a moment with... Oh, sorry. Am I not giving you enough time to get to the moment with? All right, hold on.
Hold on. He told me 4 minutes ago he had a moment with that he was going to play that was awesome.
Yep.
So this is a surprise to Bugs?
Standing by. He said stall for a second because I got to get
to
it.
There you go. It's ready to go. It's ready to rock. Let's do it.
Ready to go. Come on.
Take two.
And now a moment with Bean.
He was manic, wasn't he?
He was.
He was.
Sports and nature.
That was a moment with Bean.
Sports of nature.
Sports of nature.
All right.
It did sound like that. I mean, clearly that's not what I said, but it sure sounded like that.
Clearly it's not what I said. It's not what you meant to say, you mean.
Right. But, I mean, I don't think I even said the word sports. I think I just was kind of mush-mouthed there a little bit, and that came out that way.
Let's take another listen. And now, a moment with Bean.
He was manic, wasn't he?
He was.
He was.
Sports of nature.
That was a moment with Bean.
It was sports.
It did sound like it. I give you that.
No, we're saying it was.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat this week. Finally, on a Friday. What's going on?
No, I don't make mistakes.
Oh, I make a lot of mistakes.
Your ears aren't hearing sports.
I'm just saying, It sounded like Sports of Nature. That's what it sounded like.
Well, you think maybe it sounded like that because that's what you said?
I think I was mush mouth. I think I had some sort of saliva or something going on there at the beginning of what should have been the F that made it sound like an S. Mm. It sounds like it still ends in ors, though. Doesn't sound like it ended in orts. That's what I'm saying.
Is it possible?
Bad. There's no question it was bad.
Is it possible that you said Sports of Nature?
Absolutely.
Okay. Just checking.
Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon are getting divorced.
Oh.
Yeah. Those crazy kids can make it work.
I don't know who I'm happier for.
I'm happier for Nick. Apparently they
He seems like a terrible person to be married to, though, doesn't he?
They have hashed out a confidentiality agreement, however, as part of their divorce. So that means Nick can't say anything about her, apparently. He is barred from saying anything about the split, according to TMZ. If he does, there will be severe financial penalties. But, apparently, according to this agreement, Mariah has the right under the agreement to announce the split on her terms. So, I guess whatever it takes to get him out is what he's thinking, pretty much.
Wow.
Where it is, she has not been okay with Nick since he went on the radio and said he slept with Kim Kardashian. She's been furious about that ever since.
Pretty uptight.
She looks like a mess. She's just like a high-maintenance mess.
Yeah, way high-maintenance, yeah.
So,
what a pain in the ass.
Glad to see those two unhappy. Speaking of TMZ, they got some splaining to do.
Why, what happened?
Well, they reported that Scott Weiland was in jail for stealing razor blades and other items from a Rite Aid in Beverly Hills, and then they found some crystal meth on him. The guy told the police, "I'm Scott Weiland from the Stone Temple Pilots." But it didn't work, and he's been put in jail for the last 4 weeks on $95,000 bail. The only problem, Scott Weiland's not in jail. This morning's Los Angeles Times reports The Real Scott posted a video saying, "I've actually been touring, writing, and recording with my new album." Turns out, the guy that was arrested had the same name and birth date as Scott Weiland.
Really?
What?
Yes.
Huh.
When they did a further research on him, turns out his real name was Jason Michael Hurley, and so now he's going to face additional charges for giving false information to the cops. So when they arrested him, he's like, "I'm Scott Weiland. Let me go." And it turns out he's not Scott Weiland.
Weird thing these days where you have to actually go on social media and say, "Hey, everybody, I'm not dead. I'm not in jail."
Yeah.
Whatever. You have to refute whatever's being said. It's crazy.
It's a world where everyone's trying to scoop the other sources, so people will run with stories, you know. Speaking of stories and arrests, Columbus Short from Scandal, he was arrested and taken into custody in Van Nuys yesterday.
Oh, no. What now?
Well, he had a warrant out for his arrest because he had to show up to a criminal domestic violence court case in July. He opted not to show up in court.
Okay.
They are not big fans of that in the criminal justice system.
Yeah, I can see that.
What added insult to injury was he skipped town to go to Barbados. Now, he was hauled in front of a judge in handcuffs yesterday, and he told her he apologized for missing the court date, but, and I quote, "I literally went to Barbados for an HIV charity. I was between a rock and a hard place, the rock being court and the hard place being Barbados." Yeah, I think court, I think the rock wins in that situation.
Yeah.
He said he didn't want to disappoint 2,000 kids who were waiting for him there in Barbados at the charity event.
Why does he have so many kids?
They weren't all his kids.
Oh,
you know how the kids love Scandal.
They do.
It's Iron Man and then the guy from Scandal when it comes to their heroes. So you don't want to disappoint all those pint-sized Scandal fans.
Think of all the make-a-wish requests he must get.
It just must be a deluge.
But the one thing I like about this guy, he's a total F-up. He's been in nothing but trouble for the last year, is that he got fired from Scandal, one of the hottest shows on TV, and he said, "I totally deserve that." Yeah. I'm going downhill.
It's like, "Kevin, my bad."
Oh, that was my bad.
Yeah. Oh, that one's on me. Yeah, that's my bad. Congratulations to our buddy Carson Daly. Had another baby, a new member to the family. Their third child, Carson and Siri, have welcomed into the world. Little London Rose Daly, weighed in at 8 pounds, 11 ounces, 22
Is that the baby's
long.
Name London?
London.
Because Jimmy
Daly.
Kimmel tweeted yesterday that the baby's name was Onion. And I thought, that can't be true. So maybe he was just goofing.
That'd be awesome if it was.
That would be the best, yeah.
Yeah. London joins 5-year-old big brother Jackson and 22-month-old Etta. And so, it's a lovely little family there. Just marry her, Carson. Just do that.
That's why he has three jobs, I guess.
That's right. For three kids. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Tori Amos. I just love her. I just love everything about her. I love her music. I love her personality. I love her face. I love her sense of humor. I just love her.
All right. That's it.
I'm just telling you. I love her.
All right, you love her. I love her.
She used to be a frequent guest on the Kevin Beach Show. Until you guys, I don't know, banned her or shunned her or something's gone. Something's gone on there. Something's happened.
We did at love least one breakfast.
Yep.
Right, B?
Yeah, I think.
At least one or two.
Maybe two, yeah. Yeah, she's a great guest. Smart lady.
Actor
love her.
Ty Burrell from Modern Family. Very funny man. 47 years old today. Adewale Ikhunoye Agbaje. Not even close, but you know who I'm talking about. Mr. Echo from Lost.
Sure, yeah.
He's 47 years old. My old pal, Kristen Wiig, celebrates her 41st birthday today. And actor Rodrigo Santoro celebrates his 39th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, we need to take some photos on a video. This is a, could it possibly be real or is it fake? And it's one in the internet roundup that we had yesterday, and it's a guy on a motorcycle in Russia, and he's going full speed. He hits a car, does a forward flip, lands on the car on his feet, perfectly fine. And you watch it, and you go, I don't know, the odds against that are astronomical.
No way.
Can't possibly be real, but I think it is.
Hmm.
So go to the internet roundup at the Kevin and Bean page and find that. And we need to talk to somebody. We have an expert. And we want your opinions, too, on is it possible that video actually happened?
Could a stuntman do it? That's another question.
That's a great question. I think we have a motorcycle expert, a guy who is a stunt driver, to discuss with
as well,
in addition to calls from listeners. And then right after the show today, we're going to try to recreate it in the K-Rock parking lot with beer mug. And see if it's possible.
So that's coming up, 1-800-520-106.
Friday morning, thanks a lot for tuning in. We were talking yesterday about this video we put up in the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup that you can see right now at krock.com. It's the luckiest mofo in the history of motorsports, I think. He's riding, apparently, something called a sport bike, Lightning tells us, although it looks like a motorcycle to me. And he runs into the back of another car. While they're at freeway speed, he runs into the back of a car and flips off the bicycle and does a complete, it looks to me, Kevin, like he does a complete 360 in the air. And then lands on top of the car.
He nailed the landing. That's the part that's so crazy.
It's stunt driving. If you saw this in a show, if you went to, Anaheim Stadium to see this in a show, you would go, oh, my God, that guy's great. I hope he wins a medal in the X Games. But we are inviting your calls on it at 1-800-520-1067 because naturally anytime you see something incredible on the internet, your first inclination is to think, well, that's fake or that's a trick or that's a stunt or how did he do it? You know what I mean?
Jimmy Kimmel, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So people are tearing it apart. So we'll take a couple of your calls. But in the meantime, let's go to a professional motorcycle stunt rider. On the line is Jason Britton. He is the owner of Jason Britton's No Limit Motorsports in Westminster. Hey, Jason, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for getting up so early, dude.
Yeah, man, I'm getting ready to fly out, so I'm already up.
Great. I appreciate that. We have seen, of course, your stuff on the internet, too, and you're one of those guys who can, ride a motorcycle standing on your head. There's nothing you can't do in a bike. What was your reaction when you saw this video?
There's one thing that I can't do.
Better practice.
Take us through, with the eyes of a professional, take us through what you see in this video and how he could have been so lucky.
I think all the stars aligned, and basically, I mean, that's a fairly basic stunt in my world, my side of things. Like,
that's a basic stunt. That's not even exceptional.
The first part of it,
okay.
The basic stunt part of it is in my world. At the end of a show, you come to a stop and you flip over the bars, land on your feet on the ground.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Now, this guy just happened to be doing everything wrong, and it just ended up. Exactly right. Like, he was going way too fast. The car cut over into his lane that he was going to choose, and he ended up landing on the roof of the car somehow and nailing it.
So you look at that and you say, improbable, but looks real.
No, I mean, I think it's totally real.
You do? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there's the only way it could have gone better is if they would have had side by side video of him surfing it out Till the end, till the car stops.
Yeah, I wish the video had not cut off when it did, because I'm curious what the dismount was like off of the vehicle. Did the car just pull over to the side of the road and let him get off, or did he jump off or fall off? What happened? I mean, because if you're standing on top of a car that's going freeway speed, that can't be easy to maintain your balance, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have had to stand on the roof of vehicles at 50, 60 miles an hour, but... On point like that, when it happens and the adrenaline's going and it's in the middle of an accident that you just survived, like, I don't know. The kid's lucky, to say the least.
Yeah, he should be on your team, it sounds like.
He should be playing lottery.
We were also surprised, and I think somebody might have even mentioned this in the comments on the original YouTube video. We were surprised that with being hit from behind and then with having something land on your trunk, that driver didn't make more of an effort to slow down or stop, which would have been bad news for the guy on top.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like the clip cut so quick. It looked like the vehicle may have started slowing even more after being rear-ended. Because
right.
It got rear-ended, it looked like it slowed down a little bit. And then it looked like it was starting to slow, but I think that maybe the driver was in a state of shock, you know, like.
Yeah, I can see that.
I had a lot of people ask me, what do you think? Is that real? Do you think that's real? And I said, well, yeah, I mean, if it was, I've seen this, there's some guys on YouTube that are, you know, doing these magic videos, they're trying to claim it's magic, but it's just been edited properly.
Right.
The quality's much better.
And you never see the ending. At all, yeah. Ever. That's why people are asking that question about this video.
I think Kevin's right. It's going to end up, we're going to see the rest of the video. It's going to be the guy getting down off the car, pulling off his helmet, and there's Jimmy Kimmel looking right back at us.
Yeah.
He figured out a way to do it. All right. Well, Jason, we're taking a couple calls from the listeners here, but your opinion really matters as a guy who's been stunt riding, for 20 years or something like that. We appreciate you checking in. Jason Britton on Twitter at that name and jasonbritton.com. Hey, I know you're flying out for a motorcycle stunt show right now, so have a safe weekend, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks so much. You guys take care.
And work this one up. Really, really good on it.
Put it in the act. We had a question yesterday, Kevin, in the office asking about, I wish I knew what they were saying in the video, because this is a dash cam Russian vehicle. Well, we have a Russian listener on the phone. Artem joins us on line one from HB. Hey, Artem, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Morning, guys. Happy Friday. How you doing?
Lisa, doing great. Good so morning. You're Russian, and you saw this, and your first thought?
Yeah, oh, no, 100% real. I mean, you guys see all the crazy Russian videos that are put out on YouTube every day. I mean,
right.
I'm not surprised that something like this happens, where people are going crazy on bicycles without driver's license. This guy had no license at all, as they're saying on the Russian media, on the news, and they're taking it just easy, as well as the Russian DPS, which is like the road inspection. They're the ones that the guy turned the video into them, and they're the ones who put it out. The Russian police actually put it out on YouTube.
Oh, wow. So this has been all over Russian media, and it's absolutely confirmed. And have they interviewed the guy, the bike rider?
Nope, not the bike rider. They actually interviewed the people in the car who turned it in. And they're actually, it didn't happen in Russia. It happened in Belarus. But the people in the car, they speak Russian, former Russian state. They all had to know Russian at that time. And there's a lot of cussing going on.
So. Well, we were going to ask our last question for you, Artem, is because we were wondering what the people in the car were saying as they witnessed this out on the highway.
Well, the lady, she was just like, oh, my God, and, you know, I can't throw the F-bombs, but she's like, you guys are crazy idiots. The gentleman, the driver, just saying, you go SOB and so on, the crazy mofos and who can't drive.
So everything they said, they said you bought because it's real. It looks real to you.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
All right. If anyone was doubting, and I think this 1-2 punch of the Russian guy who knows all about it in the media there and the professional bike rider, they're both validating that it's real. So I guess now we know. Artem, thanks for listening. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Have a good day.
By the way, having said all that, it's not possible.
No.
Hey, it's time for the movie beat. Hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Whole bunch of movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. About 6 new films that you may want to check out. Many of them in limited release. You may have to work a little bit harder to find them. But I certainly think, in those cases, they're worth your while. Let's talk about those and some of the big movies right now. The one I love is a brand new film starring Mark Duplass, who I love.
He's
and
great.
Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men, of course. Ted Danson. This is a story of a marriage on the brink of falling apart, so the couple gets some therapy, and their therapist, played by Ted Danson, recommends that they go to this magical place for a weekend. And when they get there, they find out it is indeed magical. It's also weird and dangerous and strange. And I can't quite figure out what's happening here. And no one who's reviewed it will talk about what happens here. But it looks surreal and odd and psychotic and funny all at the same time. Here are some clips from the trailer of the movie called The One I Love.
It's like a perfect retreat. Just the two of you. I sent a lot of couples there, and they've all come back renewed.
Is it another dimension when you go through the door?
You want to go back.
This is something that we've been talking about, creating a new relationship.
I imagine like horseback riding with a little satchel of wine, you know? Not some weird version of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
It was kind of magical.
We also had a fantastic time when we did ecstasy, but we're not going to do that every day of our lives because you die.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah. That?
You don't want to do that.
That sounds funny.
It does indeed. Love is Strange is another limited release film starring John Lithgow and Alfred Molina as an aging gay couple who find themselves in a bit of a situation when one of them gets fired from his teaching post. They're forced to stay with friends and family separately while they sell their place and look for cheaper housing. That's a situation that weighs heavily on everybody involved, both the families and the friends that they end up staying with. This looks charming and funny. Great performances by all accounts from John Lithgow and Alfred Molina as the couple. Here are some clips from the trailer of Love is Strange.
Word got out to the Archdiocese.
You've all known this whole time that Ben and I have been living together.
The decision is effective immediately.
We need a place to stay. Well, they're only just now deciding to have dinner.
Uncle Ben?
My friend is here. We need to work on a school presentation, and there's nowhere else for us to.
Who?
That's so gay.
He doesn't mean homosexual, Uncle Ben. He just means stupid.
When you live with people, you know them better than you care to.
That's my favorite line. You know them better than you care to. Are You Here is another film in limited release. This looks mother effing some. From director and writer Matthew Weiner. Or Weiner.
Weiner.
He's the creator of Mad Men.
Yeah.
He has
written, you don't have to tell Kevin.
And directed this film that stars Owen Wilson, Zach Galifianakis, Amy Poehler. It is a comedy, but obviously it has got a lot more going on than that. It is about friendship. Zach Galifianakis, his father passes away, and he goes to his friend Owen Wilson to help him through it and finds out that he inherited an enormous sum of money and an entire business from his recently deceased estranged father. He did not expect that. Amy Poehler is Zach Galifianakis' sister, and she is very upset that she was not included in the will. Wow. It is a family comedy/drama. And it looks to be wildly entertaining. Here, the lawyer reads the will of the recently deceased father with all the kids around. Here's a scene from Are You Here?
Know that what I leave you is in no way a measure of my feelings. Angela, you are the executor with all that entails. I would have left the planet long ago if not for making love to you, the kindness of your curves, my fingers gently...
Oh, come on!
Yeah.
Wow.
Again, what are you doing here?
He's with me. I'll leave. You got to bring him.
He's my husband.
Please, can we stop all this bickering? A man died here, a very rich man.
This movie looks awesome.
Ralph, I know it's not quite Labor Day yet, but I feel like we're starting to see the fall movies for grown-ups already.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is nice.
Even the big films, like When the Game Stands Tall, one of the larger releases this weekend, is a story, real true story of a legendary football coach who took the De La Salle High School team from obscurity to a 151-game winning streak that shattered all records for any American sport.
And I would imagine by double, I mean, or more, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, that is the greatest winning record by far.
153.
Out of any sport. What happens to the team and to the coach and the people around them in the city when they finally lose? What happens to their standing and then their feelings about themselves? Well, that is explored in a movie called When the Game Stands Tall.
Don't let a game define who you are. Let the way you live your lives do that.
It's just a high school football game. I got caught up in everything and let it nearly kill me.
Coach, I'm alone.
Family isn't just blood relatives. You've got me and 60 brothers.
One, two, three, four! Yes!
We got lost, caught up in the hype, the glory, and the relentless pressure That's not who we are. We need to stand back up and find our way again.
The only way I'm going out of this game is on a stretcher.
Oh, football is the best sport.
What's great?
Best sport.
Okay.
Period.
It's on the way, too, very soon. Very soon. Oh, new season's going to start.
This was the movie for people like me who are just chomping at the bit. If I Stay, this is Kevin's choice for the weekend. This is Chloe Grace Moretz. Plays a young lady in a car accident, puts her in a coma. She has an out-of-body experience where she has to decide, do I wake up and spend the time with my new dreamy boyfriend, my new hunky, looks like an extra from Twilight boyfriend?
Right.
Or do I let myself go and do I join my family on the other side? What do I do here? Because I am stuck between the afterlife and the current life. What do I do? She ponders aloud while she roams the earth as a ghost for the majority of this film. Here is her boyfriend talking to Chloe while she is in a coma.
I'll do whatever you want. Just please stay. You're my home, Mia. I don't care where we are. I just care that we're together. I know that now. I will do anything if you stay.
Yeah.
Lie.
She stays, and then they break up 6 months later. You're like, oh, why was I could have been in heaven. This is so stupid. And I have to get that tattoo of his name taken off my hand. And lastly, Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. This is the sequel, of course, to the successful Sin City with Frank Miller and Robert Rodriguez once again at the reins. Mickey Rourke returns, Jessica Alba, Josh Brolin, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Bruce Willis. Some of Sin City's most hard-boiled citizens cross paths with a few more of its more evil inhabitants. This is, by all accounts, a very stylish sequel. If you like the first one,
yeah.
I think you'll like this one.
It does look different than any other movie.
It does have that Frank Miller stamp all over it. Here is a scene where Josh Brolin is asked what it felt like to kill an innocent man in Sin City.
What did it feel like?
What?
Murdering an innocent man. I just want to know what it felt like. It must have been beautiful.
What are you talking about, innocence?
I knew I could count on you. Sex always made you stupid, ready to believe anything. You've just made me a very rich woman. Do me one last favor, lover. Stay still long enough for me to blow your brains out.
Oh, she's evil! No! There's Eva Green in that scene, by the way.
Yeah.
She can make me kill an innocent man, you know what I'm saying?
That's a good deal.
I'd like to kill something, right. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'd like to murder something of hers, you know what I'm saying?
Now I don't know.
So those are your movies for the weekend. Me, personally, I got to go with Are You Here? Owen Wilson, Zach Galifianakis, Amy Poehler. Looks wildly entertaining. I may check that out this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
Tim Heidecker and Eric Wareham are joining us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. They are Tim and Eric, of course, and they crazy. Also, Rob Zombie on the program today and Harley from Epic Mealtime. It's all coming up. But first, do we have to do this? Is it this time again already?
We have to because you force it.
That's right.
Tweet.
Bean!
There's a simple way to stop it.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, stop tweeting bad.
Well, perhaps I should spend more time tweeting about international soccer and Batman 66. Maybe that would make you guys happy.
It would make people less angry.
It'd be a market improvement.
I know, that's
over nice. the ass that you poop out on Twitter right now.
Look, we at least are making an effort to make our tweets interesting or funny,
right?
Or whatever. A, and B, we understand what you mean with the tweets, so when Ralph reads them, we don't need you to further explain what you meant.
Well, I think the reason I do that is because if you're putting it in the bad hopper, I can only assume it's because you're not following what's being said.
Ah.
Oh, I see. It could be you're taking whatever personal peccadillos you have and trying to make them as if everyone feels the same way you do? Is that possible?
Give me some examples of what you're talking about. We'll see what's happening.
Love to.
Proposed constitutional amendment text in full. Turn the camera sideways while filming videos on phones.
That's a pretty good idea, and I think you guys are with me.
It doesn't matter one way or the other.
Really? Does it bother you when you see the vertical phone videos?
Why would that bother me?
Because it's dumb.
Well, it's hard to argue. I mean, you do have a point.
Thanks for that
tweet.
The internet. Lose and loose are both words, but not interchangeable. Plus, there is losing, but no loosing. We cool?
It's a good tip.
That's a good tip. I like it when Bean tries to instruct.
Oh, nothing better than the Picayune police when they get in their patrol car dropping off.
Let me give you some knowledge right now.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean! The closest I ever came to losing my wife was when she found out I cut my pasta with a knife and fork.
She was not happy. She's personally offended by that.
Who gives
a care?
Yeah, nope, can't say it.
A lot of people are twirlers. Believe that you should just twirl your pasta on the fork, but I prefer
Jesus.
To cut it.
How is it possible anybody cares about this? Even
it isn't. Why would you share that with anyone? Shut up.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean. Is gonna play, haters gonna hate. I'm just gonna shake it off. Damn it, Taylor Swift. Now I gotta get another of your songs tattooed.
Yay!
Oh, yay!
No, yay!
The kids are very excited about the new T Swizzle song. Look, there's nothing wrong with being excited when one of your favorite musical artists comes out with a new song. That's a very common use of social media, is people are excited about music. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right, but it seems like there's age-appropriate music at every age.
Taylor's
like,
for everyone.
Like, if you're a kid, there's kid music.
I'm sorry. Yep. Taylor's for everyone?
Thank you, Lisa.
Said?
I agree with Lisa.
For a teenager, there's music for teenagers. Oh, if you're older, there's music for older people.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's not all Taylor Swift. It can't be for everybody. That's just
well,
absurd.
You shouldn't be going to Eminem concerts anymore then, Kevin, by your logic. I'm just saying you can like whatever you want.
Yeah, you're right, because Taylor Swift is just like Eminem when it comes to maturity.
Thank
you're
you,
absolutely
Ralph. I agree
right.
with you, too.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean! Great! Now I have to worry about Tony Stewart killing me, too.
I don't get that.
No one does.
Everyone got it the morning I tweeted it, which was right after the NASCAR driver hit and killed another driver on the track.
Right. So what are you, a NASCAR driver? So why
saying.
Would he kill you? Well, I don't understand. What does it mean?
What does that mean?
Tell me what everyone got. Tell me what everyone got when you
what
tweeted that.
Everyone got is that it was a comment on the accident that had happened that day.
And what kind of comment was it?
It was maybe I have to worry about him killing me too?
Exactly.
That's crazy. By the way, all right, I'm going to have to take back. We understand we don't need further explanations.
You're right.
Because this is absurd and it means nothing to anyone.
Yeah. Maybe have a cup of coffee or something in the morning before you start tweeting.
It was obviously an exaggeration. None of us really had to worry about Tony Stewart killing a guy. But
right.
he had already killed one guy that day.
Right, That's but how it. Is that funny and or interesting?
I think in context, it struck people as very funny at the time.
You are very wrong.
Based on the response that I got.
Here we go. All right. Yeah, the business line was ringing off the hook.
Yeah.
We know.
Weeks later, it's hard to put yourself back in the mindset of that day.
Everyone got it and everyone loved it. Understood. Now we get that.
Tweet.
Bing. My iPhone autocorrect just changed CCR to VCR, then asked me how I was typing from the 70s.
Stop it. Yes, it is, unfortunately.
It is not, okay. Unfortunately.
So you're saying that your autocorrect...
Good luck, Ralph.
...is behind the times because they corrected it to VCR.
Right.
But what it changed was CCR, which
right.
I'm just taking a stab here, stands for Clearance Clearwater Revival...
Creedence Clearwater Revival. That's right. Something else from a long ago decade. That's right. Yes. So the bit was that now my autocorrect.
It's not a bit.
It's not a bit.
Is policing what I'm typing as if, hey, how are you typing that from the past? Because why would anybody be typing about either CCR or a VCR in the 21st century?
Well,
it's an ongoing dialogue that I'm having with my phone.
Wow.
I wish Tony Stewart had killed you.
What?
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
it's weird to see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is to it must be, you know, infallible word of God or, you know, in the terrorist, you know, situations or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified. So,
wow,
it must be alien. You go, no, it's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was a moment with Kevin. USA!
When that was happening live this morning, yeah. I know I was thinking this, and I'm sure Lisa and Muggs too. We were just holding our breath, like we were watching a high wire act. Just, is he going to make it? And don't say anything, anybody.
And wow! In context, all everybody was talking about was like, is that motorcycle video for real? that was the context.
Yeah.
What if that motorcycle video is for real?
Wow!
Then. Play that again. Play that.
I'd rather not.
I insist you play that.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is to it must be, you know, infallible word of God or, you know, in the terrorist, you know, situations or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified. So it must be alien. You go, no, it's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Absolute pure genius. Fabulous. Stand up and applaud.
All right.
This one is top of the charts.
Yeah.
Ah, that is exquisite. That is orgasmic.
It is.
Mozart-like. It's just pure perfection.
It was pretty
beautiful.
Good.
All the chemicals are bubbling.
Yeah.
And all the equation comes out right in the end.
That was good stuff bubbling. Right there. Yeah. Good stuff. That's a top 10 of the year contender, I think, you guys.
What?
I was just corrected. We were talking about whether Moses was stoned or not when he brought down the
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, so it was a little bit closer.
Like it matters.
It actually was.
I mean, come on.
But boy.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
So that happened?
That happened.
How do I not hear that while it's happening and stop? At, you know, after the first half hour, how do I not just go, I'm going to stop and reset?
It's granola bars.
Can't
man.
Do
That's
it.
What I'm guessing.
Can't do it.
It's all the granola bars.
No, right, good times.
Anything I do now is going to pale in comparison. It's so hard to follow when your opening act is that strong. How do you come out on stage? Well, I can tell you that William Hung got married.
He did.
What? Do you remember William Hung?
Yes.
From
American Idol.
Perhaps the most famous of all the failed competitors on American Idol. Came on the show, was immediately laughed out of the room, dismissed in his first audition, and then took on a life of its own. It just, his horribleness became beloved by millions. He got married.
That is shocking.
How desperately does this woman need a green card? That's the only thing that came to my head as I found out that he was married to a seemingly lovely. She's a nurse. She has a career. Everything seems to be functional there.
Is it possible that he's a terrible singer, but is it possible he's an excellent lover? No, a nice guy, and even a smart guy?
Well, yeah,
he did go to Berkeley
guy.
Or something, if I remember, or Stanford or one of those good schools.
He is currently working as an administrator for a medical center here in the Los Angeles area, apparently. He's got a job.
He just seemed socially inept.
He seemed Doto-esque is what he seemed.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, totally.
I was being nice, but
yes. You were. But apparently he's holding down a job, and now he's got a wife.
So there's hope for Doto?
No.
Let's not be crazy.
No. But that was shocking news to me this morning.
Even with a lot of talent in singing, with a lot of talent in whatever you choose to do, you still have to put in this hard work.
Right.
And you need that determination and perseverance not to give up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he didn't give up and it worked out for him.
Enough perseverance, you can even get married.
Got married.
Let that be a lesson to all of us. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Tori Amos is 51 years old today. Actress Kristen Wiig celebrates her 41st birthday. Adwale Nkonoye Agbaje is 47 years old.
I think that's pretty close.
Is it?
Can we have him say it? Can we have him tell us how you say it?
I should be able to. Give me 1 second.
Let's ask him how you say your name.
Yeah.
Hey,
it's impossible.
Hey, Adwale, how do you say your name?
Adwale Akinoye Agbaje.
There we go. Adwale Akinoye Agbaje.
Adwale Akinoye Agbaje.
Adwale Akinoye Agbaje.
You feel like listening to a tape in your car right now trying to learn foreign languages?
He is 47 years old today. Ty Burrell is 47, and singer Tori Amos is 51. Did I say that already?
You did.
I love her. I said it twice.
Yep.
I love her so much, I gave her a birthday shout-out twice. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
One way to make it an awesome show is to invite Tim and Eric to sit in on it, and they'll be joining us here on the Kevin Bean Program in about 50 minutes or so right here on KROQ. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, our old friend Pat O'Brien back in the studio.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, Pat.
How
are you
guys doing?
We are good.
I'm glad to see you. Here to promote my new book. I'll be right back after this. It's my new book.
That's right. Your new book that's just out now.
I think you should all pick it up.
Talk about your long career at CBS Sports and Access Hollywood and The Insider and whatever the hell you're doing now.
The Insider, that was an experience, I tell you. Those people, vicious, mean people. But somehow I rose above it with the help of my good friends like Ben Affleck and Heidi Klum.
Okay, you don't need to name drop in this interview.
Look, I'm sorry, I have celebrity friends and you guys don't. I don't know what to do about that.
Right,
but we'll have to agree to disagree on this.
But Ben Affleck didn't have anything to do with what we were talking about, which was you working at The Insider.
Look, I don't drop names.
You don't.
I just if I'm talking about one of my friends,
right?
How do I not identify them?
Okay,
I said that to Michael Douglas the other night. We were having dinner with Al Pacino at Spago,
right?
And I said to him, "That's Jodie Foster over there. She's a good friend of mine."
Uh-huh.
And Michael Douglas said, "You shouldn't name drop." And I said, "I can't." I'm just telling you, Jody's a friend of mine, and Madonna, who's over there also, was a friend of mine.
Right.
And she said, he's right.
So, Pat, in your book where you talk about CBS Sports and The Insider and The Access Hollywood, it sounds like you didn't get along with any of your coworkers.
Well, they're all horrible. Horrible people. Giselle Fernandez, first of all, my first co-host.
Uh-huh.
Craziest person I ever worked with. She was a diva. I hate working with divas.
Yeah, sure.
I like down-to-earth people like myself.
Sure.
I'm just salt-of-the-earth working class.
Yeah, just a small-town boy from South Dakota.
That's right. That's what I am.
Sure.
Mary Hart. She was. I call her the silent vampire.
Huh. Wow,
yeah.
For real.
She was brutal.
Huh.
Nancy O'Dell. Idiot.
Now, what's wrong with Nancy? I thought
horrible.
You were friends with
horrible.
Her.
Horrible. Idiot. Horrible.
What? This is weird because it seems like...
Never read a book, that girl.
It seems...
Jeff Goldblum told me that.
It seems like you have nothing good to say about anyone.
Well, I can't help it if they're all horrible people, and I'm good. What can I do about that?
We're
going to have to agree to disagree on
that. Here's how you describe in one chapter in your new book, Pat O'Brien, your life at The Insider. I was driven to work in my black Maserati, wore $3,000 handcrafted Armani suits with $500 silk ties, matched them with an extensive collection of gold and silver cufflinks mixed with one of my 100 or so watches.
Right.
I had two dressing rooms and a full staff of people at my beck and call.
Right, it was hell. I hate to, I'm not bragging. It was horrible.
But why do you have to tell us how much each tie costs?
Well,
that's a weird thing.
Queen Latifah once told me,
oh.
If you earn the bling,
right,
you got to shake that thing.
She never told you that.
No, she never did. I think that was Sir Ian McKellen who told me that. Good friend Ian McKellen.
It sounds like you're just bragging, though.
No, not. I'm just telling you the truth. Some people think the truth is bragging. You know, the Beatles were all friends of mine. And John Lennon used to say, some people think the truth is bragging.
Did you really know John Lennon?
Absolutely. He is a good friend of mine. You know, I play piano with Paul McCartney sometimes. And he says, you're better friends with John Lennon than I was.
I don't think that's true. That's
not
the case.
I wrote more songs with him, that's for sure.
That's just not the case.
It is true.
It's absurd.
We were going to make an album just before he died. But now we'll never see that album. And he had all the songs with him, and he burned them before.
Oh, I see. So they're not available
anymore. No, I was telling that to Jeff Dunham the other day.
Jeff Dunham,
wow. That's a good pull.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman was joining us.
Uh-huh.
We have ventriloquism parties sometimes.
It doesn't seem likely that that's true at all.
After one of my AA meetings, we all go over to my house and just put on our puppets.
Now, speaking of your AA meetings,
I conquered my demons.
Right. I understand
just ask
that.
Hartman. He'll tell you.
He'll tell you, right.
Before I ruined Hartman's career. He's had demons.
He was an idiot, too, right?
He's an idiot. He's horrible. Horrible man. But it is I survived to be him, too. I'm still here to talk about it.
Yes, you are, Pat. It is supposed to be Alcoholics Anonymous, but you do mention in the book that you attended many 12-step meetings with Heath Ledger. Now, why would you say that?
He's dead. I can get away with it.
Oh, I see.
That's all I'm saying.
More than once.
Dead Alcoholics Anonymous.
More than once, Pat had to be rescued after falling down and smashing his head in both hotel rooms and at a home in California. One ugly episode followed another until close to death at his home in Nantucket, he boarded a private medevac jet to Hazelden, a respected rehab in Minnesota. And that's where it all clicked for you, right?
That's right.
That's where it stuck.
All my demons. That's where I fought my demons there.
Right.
And the great thing about this book is I can tell all the great stories about when I was drunk and pretend like I'm sorry about it. But I get to brag about that, too. That's what the great thing about writing a book is.
I see.
You talk about how much I used to party and what an animal I was, and then still say, but I conquered my demons.
Here's my favorite line from the book. O'Brien closes out his memoir on a note of celebrity recognition. Covering the London Olympics for NBC, he reports that Michelle Obama came racing over to him.
That's right.
As he went to introduce himself, Kevin, are you ready? She broke in. I know who you are. We love you at the White House.
Oh.
Barack sends his good wishes.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
That's
ladies
right.
and gentlemen.
Barack loves me.
That,
and I love Barack.
That didn't happen.
That did
though.
Not
Michelle
happen.
Did. Michelle loves me. And
it's unlikely that story is true.
It's absolutely true. And
she ran over when she saw you.
Yes.
She ran to you.
And then after that, we played Twister with Renee Zellweger and Jaden Smith. He was wearing that white Batman costume. I love it.
Is any of this book true? Is your name really Pat O'Brien?
I went to rehab.
Right.
So I got that right.
Okay, good.
Look, I watched the show, and I've always felt that Eric doesn't carry his own weight anyway. So this is no surprise that he's not even here for the interview, Tim. You know what I mean?
Well, he's probably listening on the 10. Morning, Eric.
Morning,
hey,
Eric.
Hi, Eric.
Where you at, buddy? Tim's here. It's Tim and Eric time on the Kevin and Bean Show, ladies and gentlemen. Tim and Eric's Bedtime Stories is their latest series, debuting on Adult Swim Thursday night, September 18th at 12:15. How are you, Mr. Heidecker?
Oh, we're so excited to get that coveted 12:15 slot. That's always fun to tell your parents that you have a TV show. It's on TV, and it starts at 12:15.
It's perfect.
Doesn't that feel good?
Yeah. That is sort of strange, yeah. By the way, you guys are geniuses or morons. I still haven't decided. I've watched
geniuses.
Hundreds
got,
of hours.
Just gotten a letter from the Department of Genius. And
oh, good for you.
Confirmed it.
So it's science now. All right.
Yeah.
And I used to think, what would happen to you guys if Adult Swim didn't exist? Because Adult Swim almost seems like it was created for Tim and Eric.
It's funny the way you said adult. I never thought about it this way, but it is like adult, like a D-O-L-T swim.
Right.
You know, like adult.
That's not an answer to his question.
No, I'm avoiding the answer.
Okay.
It's all the first time I've heard it pronounced that way. Like, you know, the people that watch it are adults.
Now, should I have said adults. Adult Swim?
No, it's fine either way. It's fine.
Okay.
But I forgot the question. Yes, Adult Swim is where we belong. It's they let us do whatever we want.
It's your universe.
Yeah, it's great. They don't have any notes on what we do. They just say, okay, and put it on the air.
And so, that Adult Swim is just packed with nonsense. Great nonsense.
Yeah, I guess so.
I
haven't watched it in years. I can't really tell you. I don't know what they're up to these days. But
I'm so impressed with how many different types of things you guys do on your show. I mean, that's what's unbelievable is, you know, you tune in for one 15-minute segment, and it can be a gangster shootout over here, and it can be an opera singer over there, and it could be a giant dinosaur attacking you over there. It's almost like I wonder sometimes if it's difficult for you to rein it in to decide which of your many ideas to even put on the show because you literally can do anything you want.
Well, our job is so hard, and it is we work so hard at what we do. It's really none of it's very fun. It's very painful process. No, we usually don't. We don't have very many ideas, actually.
You don't,
and no.
You just go with the
ideas. The ideas we have, we right. get made. So.
I mean, I guess let me put it another way because I asked that question poorly. When Matthew Weiner goes to work and he's doing Mad Men, he knows that it's going to involve advertising and guys in suits and people smoking and you
right.
know, pitches in a conference room. You don't have any of those constraints whatsoever because every week it can be a completely different it can be astronauts one week and gunfighters the next. I mean, that's why I'm saying it.
Yes,
must be tough to rein it in.
Well, the new show especially, every episode is a totally different story, different cast, different sensibility. Or it's always the same sensibility, but it's more freeing and fun for us to be able to not stick to a premise necessarily week to week.
I saw a couple of episodes of Bedtime Stories that are up on the website right now.
Are they online now? For people to torrent?
I think so. Unless I got a preview password or something like that.
I went to YouTube to try and watch it. They have this new deal where you pay money.
They go,
if you want to see this episode, you have to pay $1.99.
I'm sure I'm seeing all that.
And they'll show it to you.
You'll get all of that. And I noticed in the first two episodes, you had some crazy guest stars. And that's one of the things that Tim and Eric has always been famous for with the awesome show and everything like that. Who was the ones you saw,
just so I know.
I saw what's-his-face from Breaking Bad.
Aaron Paul?
Oh, yeah. No, Bob Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk starred as the guy who cuts off people's toes.
Yes.
That old plot line. Yeah, exactly. Back again.
Sorry, we pulled that one from one of those old Dick Van Dyke episodes. Yeah.
People just decide they don't want their toes anymore, Kevin.
Yeah,
they go
we decided,
and have them removed.
Yeah, the premise of that one is that in this world of that episode, having your toes removed is like a simple procedure that people get done because it's sort of like cosmetic surgery.
Right.
And everybody, and everybody,
yeah, toes are disgusting.
Yeah,
and everybody sort of just accepts it and wants
to
do it.
It's that isn't the gross thing about that episode.
No, it's not at all. Wow. But even in that episode, you've got Bob Odenkirk, who's phenomenal on it. But then you've also got Jillian Jacobs, who's in there from Community. And then you've got, who's the man who plays the old man who plays the fisherman?
Oh, Emmett Walsh.
Exactly. Yeah, who's a great actor.
Yes, he's a great character actor. You recognize him from a million movies.
Blood Simple, right, is where I think of it.
Blood Simple, yeah.
But I wonder what it's like for you guys. I mean, do you just randomly, like, call – I mean, some of these people, like Bob, you've been friends with. But, Mr. Walsh, do you just call him out of the blue and say, hey, you'd be great for the sketch?
Well, funny about Emmett Walsh, we kind of had him as an idea. Often this happens where you have somebody as an idea for, let's get somebody like that. You know, somebody that reminds us of that character. We can't imagine we never imagined we could actually get these people. I honestly wasn't sure he was still with us.
Wow. And you don't just mean acting.
No. He's up there. But
hey, Eric, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Welcome to the show. We start at 5:30, by the way.
Oh, my God, baby.
He was around.
I've been driving here, pulling over for 5 minutes, just doing some vomiting. I'm sorry. I had a big Cabo Wabo night last night, if you know what I mean. Sammy Hagar style.
Sure. Who's the biggest star that's ever been in a Tim and Eric movie or on a Tim and Eric TV show?
Well, we were lucky to work with Frank Sinatra this year.
Let's touch the top.
No, I don't know, Eric. Who's the biggest star on our show that we've ever had? I mean, we've had the greats, Will Ferrell,
Paul Rudd. Yeah,
but these are comedy
Paul
guys.
Rudy.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right.
This is not a good example. I mean,
Robert Loggia.
He's one of the biggest stars in America.
Sure.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Tim Heidecker.
David.
That guy's dreamy. I love that guy. Yeah. That guy's something else. All right. Well, Eric is here. We're going to get him some coffee and see if he feels okay.
Some 12-pack of Alka-Seltzer.
We can handle that as well.
Oddly enough, I think we have that.
Tim and Eric's Bedtime Stories premieres Thursday night, September 18th on Adult Swim. More with our guests when we return right after this on K-Rock. Rob Zombie next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show, and Harley from Epic Mealtime stopping by as well. In the meantime, though, Tim and Eric are here. Their Bedtime Stories show debuts Thursday night on Adult Swim. Thursday night, September 18th on Adult Swim. How many new episodes did you guys make, Tim and Eric?
I think we made 7.
That's a dent.
That's not a season.
Well, it's a lucky number for
us.
We
shot 10, but 3 were real messed up. And everyone's like, that is too naughty for TV.
Yeah. Nah. One episode was just a close-up of my partner Eric's bottom part of his body without pants.
Very
for
experimental, and they just didn't get it.
They didn't get that. They didn't see the vision of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, this show is much bigger. It looks awesome. It looks like mini movies, you know, and this was pretty much all we could handle for the first season. Hopefully, in subsequent seasons, we'll make
but
more.
You were kidding about only doing 7.
No, we did.
I've never heard of it.
It's a weird number, I know.
It's
a long and boring story that involves unions and budgets and stuff. But we're doing the rest of them next year, hopefully.
Oh, I see.
But 7 is fine. It'll take us to the end of the year. I think it's, like Eric said, it's as much as we could handle, and it's as much as our audience, I think, can handle.
Okay.
Because wow. we're pretty
small doses.
We're starting the week before with our pilot with Zach Galifianakis that we showed last year called Haunted House. So the whole series itself will be actually 8, but 7 new episodes.
All right.
Here's a question I don't want you guys to take in the wrong way at all, because I am asking as a fan.
Okay.
How competent are you musically?
How competent?
Yeah. And the reason I say that is because you guys have, over the years, had tons of music videos that you've done that look like you actually can play and sing. And I'm just wondering how much of that is studio trickery, or how good are you guys for reals?
We're pretty good, I have to say. I mean, for rock music, we're good. We're not like classically trained concert pianists. But we just did a tour in the South last month, where we took our rock band on the road, and we can handle ourselves pretty well. We can
run. That's awesome.
It was fun. Our band's called Puss Whip Bang Gang.
I like it.
We're
play a lot of churches in the South.
Yeah. We're actually inspired by The Doors. After Jim Morrison died, Tim sent me this video of The Doors playing in Germany without Jim as a front man.
Right.
It was the worst blues band, the most unenthusiastic thing.
They didn't replace him with any other
singer. No.
They just didn't.
Tim and I were like, we need to do a band just like that. This is like bad blues rock, and that's how Puss Whip came about. But we play songs from our TV show, and we have these. It's our chance for us to get out there. We do guitar solos.
It's very self.
We love music. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you guys are – I mean, that's one of the things you can count on in all of your shows and the movie, too, is that we're going to see music videos. And it must be so fun for you to be able to do them in all the different styles, too, whatever you're in the mood for.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. We love doing the really bad cable access, karaoke-style videos. Yeah.
Oh, you've got that down pat. You've nailed that. Tell me about the live show. Now, of course, it's sold out. You're only playing the Ace Hotel, which I understand is a cool new venue.
203.
Yeah, good.
But it seems like in L.A., of all places, you should be playing a bigger place. What's up with that?
We used to play the Nokia, and our fans would say this was the worst experience we've ever had to do. You have to go actually through two lines of security. It's a very corporate area.
Just going through LA, was it LA Live?
Yeah, that's right.
That whole world is so opposite to the vibe that we usually emit from our world. Yeah.
I went to a concert there, and I had the same experience. I said I would never let our fans. It's just too intense. So we moved to the Ace, which is this beautiful new theater. It's not as many people, but I feel like
it's close, though. It holds a lot of people.
Yeah. It's big. I don't know.
It's sold out on September 12th.
It holds 80 people, so we sold it out almost immediately.
1 hour.
Gosh, should I even ask about the live show? Because our people listening can't see it anyway. But, of course, the great John C. Reilly's back with you.
John C. Reilly can't come, but we do have Dr. Steve Brule coming on tour. He's going to be sort of our co-headlining act. He's going to come out and teach everybody about the important lessons of physical health and how to treat your body right.
Sounds funny.
Yeah. Dr. Brule came on our prior tours, and he would do these appearances, and this time he's coming every day to the tour, which is going to be pretty fun.
John C. Reilly is so great. I mean, he's obviously an Oscar-nominated, phenomenal, serious actor. But when it comes to comedy, he's got that Will Ferrell thing where he gives 100% to his character. He does not hold back at all, and that just makes him awesome.
Yeah. He gets completely immersed in that character, and it's an amazing thing to watch. It's like watching Clark Kent turn into Superman or something, where he just disappears. The actor disappears, and the character is suddenly in front of us.
You find yourself just looking at him going, wow, that's what acting is like.
Yeah.
Like that's,
yeah, yeah.
We got that's to amazing. Work with him on this new show as not Steve Brule, but as an actor in the new show. And he got to do a scene with Laurie Metcalf from the old Roseanne show. Mm-hmm. And those two were like just an acting masterclass that we were just watching on monitors going, but this is the greatest thing we've ever got to do.
It was an intense scene. They both started crying, and it was like...
It's not comedy.
We were like, what the hell are we making here? Wow. But we knew
show's not meant to make you feel good.
it's unbelievable working with people like that. It's really
Have you ever had an episode that has captured the imagination of non-Tim and Eric fans to the point where anyone has ever complained about you being on TV?
We realize everything we do is sort of polarizing, and there's lots of people that really get mad about it.
But you've never had a protest or anything like that, or No,
you've never gotten the network in trouble.
No, we're not. You know, we don't do a lot of political stuff. We don't do a lot of racial stuff.
Religious stuff.
Yeah. A lot of people are just confused by what we're doing. You
know? I think there's a lot of people like our age or younger who are angry that we are somehow having some kind of success.
Yeah.
And they feel like we don't deserve it or something.
The anger comes from not understanding it. People get frustrated. It's like, why are you laughing at this? Why is this a movie? Why is it a TV show? You know, that's like, and that's where we want to be. We don't, you know, we are not for everyone.
But you're in the pocket when that happens.
Yeah. People that do love it, love it. I think this new series, I think we're going to get a lot of different audience, you know, a new audience. There's a lot of,
I would ask people that. Yeah, I would ask people listening if they think they've been turned off by some of our stuff in the past. Try this new show. It might be something that you'll be up for.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Is there death in every episode, guys?
It seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
We haven't thought about it that much, but there is a lot of death. I mean,
a lot of murder
is a part of life
in the Tim and Eric world.
I mean, this show is like, you know, a nightmare. It's like what we see. It's like the traffic that, you know, coming here was like a real nightmare. We're trying to put that in a show and look at it conceptually, and that's going to make you laugh. It's so,
yeah, they are like real. There's a horror element to it, but a lot of the shows feel like actual nightmares.
I don't know what you're smoking, but I want some. I'm relatively sure.
Tim and Eric's Bedtime Stories premieres Thursday night, September 18th, just after midnight on Adult Swim. And I've seen the first couple of episodes, and it's everything you always loved about Tim and Eric, only more. And, of course, the live show is hitting the road right after Labor Day, starting up in Montreal, sold out here in Los Angeles. But who knows? Maybe you guys will be back, give more people a chance to come see it, right?
Sure. Yeah, there's a possibility opening up another. We just added a bunch of new dates for all our
shows. Do you think you guys will ever make another movie?
Well, probably at some point. But we feel like this show, we're able to make as many movies as we want. They're just shorter. And we like, I mean,
all we have to do is put 80 of these together and we got ourselves a film.
That could take a while if that's the way you're going to do it.
Yeah.
We did write, after the $1 billion movie, we did write the $1 trillion movie, and it took Tim and Eric to Africa, and it was pretty wild. And a couple people read it, and they're like, oh, maybe we should wait on this for a little bit.
Well, we're always excited to catch up with you guys. We're huge fans of yours.
Oh, thank you for having us, guys.
And thank you so much for coming in, and I hope everybody will tune in on Adult Swim on September 18th and come back and see us anytime, guys.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Take
care. Thank you.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 8.
Uh-huh. Got something you want to play?
No.
Yes, you do. Or I'll just sit here. I'll have a sit-in. I will have a work stoppage until you play your brand new moment with that is the greatest thing ever.
You want to hear that again? The one from last hour?
Yes, the one from last hour. That's what I'm talking about.
Come on, Ralph. We did this twice.
I got all day.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from "I'm not positive what the answer is" to "it must be, you know, infallible word of God" or, you know, in the terrorist, you know, situation or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified. So. It must be alien. You go, no. It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Come on!
That's up there. That's up there.
I gotta tell you, Kevin was so strong early in 2014, and then there was a little bit of a lull here in his past summer.
It was the All-Star break.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he just hit for the cycle, man.
Yep.
Come on. That was amazing.
One more time.
Come on.
One more time.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from "I'm not positive what the answer is" to "it must be, you know, infallible word of God" or, you know, in the terrorist, you know, situation or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no. It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
What was the
terrorist part?
Explain the terrorist part.
Well, that was what struck me, is why in the middle of that sentence did I use...
terrorist situation?
Did I use the word terrorist? Because we weren't talking about terrorism.
You're magic.
Because all of the surrounding words had nothing to do with terrorism.
You went
at all.
God to terrorism to UFOs. Man, you had everything in
what? I don't...
I don't
know. You are Dr. Steve Brule. That's who you are. You're, it's like when you go into character, when you immerse yourself in that character of Radio Kevin.
Come on now.
Like watching a genius at work.
I used the word terrorist. Why?
That was awesome.
All right. I feel better now. Got that out of my system. Hey, you know this is a VH1 dating show, Dating Naked?
Yes.
You familiar with this Dating Naked show?
Yes, I am.
They get young people together and they get them buck-ass naked and then they make them go on dates together.
Right.
And then at the end, you have to pick out who you like the best, and then you continue dating with clothes on after that.
Seems like you're kind of going backwards in that case.
I would think so, too. Jesse Nizowitz from New York, 28, is very upset.
Uh-oh.
Because, you know, as you can imagine, when you're on the naked date, everything is blurred out.
Right.
But apparently there was one scene where she was wrestling with her new friend that she met on the beach. They were wrestling naked. And there, apparently there was a little b-hole.
Oh, no.
And a little vajayjay flashing. Just some flashing. Just a. You really have to look closely to see just the flash.
I saw the flashing b-holes last night at the True.
They were any good?
They were really not good.
Yeah. And so now she's suing VH1 and the producers of the show. What do you think she's suing for?
That they showed her naked on TV?
Well, they didn't show her naked. Just a flash, the briefest of flashes. She was bent over and like wrestling with a little b-hole and a little.
Are you asking us what the charges are?
No, what an amount. Okay. She is suing for an amount.
$10 million.
$10 million, you're right, Kevin.
No. What?
$10 million is what she is suing for.
Just for a little b-hole? come on.
They ruined her life, they said. She says,
$10 million.
I felt lied to, manipulated, and used. I was horrified. How horrified can you be when you're on a TV show where you're naked, wrestling with a dude on the beach?
Yeah, you know that going in.
Right. Well, I thought everything would be blurred, she said. So there's a little b-hole. A little b-hole slipped through the cracks. Or the crack, in this case. It's $10 million. Really? The episode aired, says Jesse, and she started receiving texts and messages from her friends and family who let her know her vagina was on TV and joked, don't let it get all Hollywood on you.
Text from her mom. Nice b-hole.
She also said she was in a relationship with a man she had been seeing for a month when the episode aired, and it ruined their relationship.
Yeah,
he never called me again after the show aired. I would have hoped we could have had a long-term relationship. He was employed, Jewish, and in his 30s, and that's pretty much ideal. She said. She's now suing that guy who dumped her for $10 million as well.
Really trying to clean up.
She's just suing everywhere, left and right. You know you're going on a show called Naked Dating.
Yes. But you should also be able to trust the fact that they are going to blur it because they have to, right?
Right.
By FCC law or whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, I was just wondering if VH1 is going to run into any trouble with the authorities as a result of showing a vagina on their network.
Well, you know the magic of basic cable. Is that you're not broadcasting it via the airwaves.
Oh, so they get around the FCC that way.
Right. And they are largely self-policing when it comes to their own standards and practices. I'm sure had they noticed it or caught it, they would have...
Well, the B-hole police were not working that day.
The B-hole police just let that slip right by.
They're at home.
Yeah.
I bet that's a tough job, though, in a moving image to blur out
the
way the body moves.
Sure. Right, but they're
and they like showing the ass, and they show all ass cheeks all the time.
Right.
It's just genitals and breasts.
Right.
Gets blurred.
So, which is why no one watches the show, by the way.
It's all buttocks all the time on that show. So I guess they said, oh, well, there's some beach buttocks. We'll just let that play because we always let the buttocks play.
Right.
But they didn't know about the B-hole. And so it's certainly not about the V-hole. So... Everyone was surprised, but now $10 million. Shut up.
Yeah, really.
Thanks a lot, Barack Obama.
I will show anyone who wants to see my b-hole for $10 million. You can rent me a ticket for $10 million? You can explore my b-hole for $10 million.
I'm going to undercut that and go for $9.
What's your b-hole price? It's our new game.
How low would you go? Really, really a million.
For a mil?
Really?
Is that...
That's a
is that Loki or Touchy Touchy?
For $1 million?
Yeah, for $1 million.
I think I'd go a little Touchy Touchy. Come on, you wouldn't?
Yes, I would.
Lisa?
Yes.
Oh, Lisa, you kidding me?
Bean?
She does it for a dinner. For dinner, Lisa does it.
Bean says no.
I say no.
Come on, for $1 million?
Nope. Touchy Touchy, no.
You, sir, are a liar.
I'm not. I'm telling you the truth.
You're an idiot. You're either an idiot or a liar.
I'm probably an idiot.
For $1 million.
Do they do stuff to your butt?
Yes. For $1 million, they can do whatever they want. Hey, Doctor Who's coming out, coming back this weekend.
Ralph, I've never...
I'm just super excited. I just wanted to share that with everyone.
I've never seen a single episode of Doctor Who.
Well, it's your loss.
Saturday
night.
You know me. What I like
the
it?
The Doctor returns, a brand new Doctor.
Don't care about
Peter
that.
Peter Cataldi.
Do you think I would like it?
I think you would like it.
Okay.
Because it's very much in the vein of shows that you like.
And how many seasons
like
in
you
are
like
we?
Science fiction,
yeah,
and
I do.
You know, and you liked Fringe and Lost, and that it's very much that
kind
of thing.
It's got adventure, it's got action.
Mythology to it. A lot of people are scared off by the mythology. It has been on the air for roughly 50 years.
Okay, so what are the chances I can come into this process now?
This is the time to do
any
it.
Any idea what's going
this
on?
This is the time to do it because it's a brand new Doctor. They're introducing the brand new Doctor this weekend.
So does that...
He's the 12th Doctor, the guy who's played Doctor Who.
So each time they bring in a new Doctor Who,
he regenerates. The character regenerates and becomes a brand new person, even though he has all the memories and characteristics of all his other lives.
But all
it's
the
like reincarnation,
all the story before that goes away, and now we're
not goes away.
Not all of
it all becomes part of the mythology, but it is a fresh new look.
I'm pretty sure I'm not the guy to come in midstream.
I
need more information.
You know what might be a good idea? Because there are probably a lot of people who have heard of Doctor Who and have never watched it, Robin. It's one of the most successful series of all time,
yes,
as you've mentioned. It might be interesting to have the listeners call up and tell us what are the basics that we need to know
good
to
idea.
Watch Doctor Who for the first time.
Good idea. Catch us up on Doctor Who. I'll be there with you. I'll help you. We'll do it together.
Catch us up on
me
50
and the listeners.
Years of a TV
the listeners
show.
And I will fill you in on 50 years of what's been going on Doctor Who.
So then by the end of that break, then Bean and I will be ready for the new season
ready
Saturday night.
To jump in with both feet.
All right.
And get me some Doctor Who music too. Can we get the theme? Ask and you shall receive.
Look at that. All right. So 1-800-520-1067. What do you want us to know about Doctor Who as it gets ready to premiere this week on BBC America?
I don't feel like you're helping, Ralph.
I love this theme. Today's celebrity birthdays: Tori Amos is 51, Ty Burrell's 47, Adewale Akinnoye Agbaje.
Close enough.
Yep, he's 47, and Kristen Wiig is 41. We'll be back with Doctor Who in minutes. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 12 minutes after 8 o'clock.
It is Doctor Who talk here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Returning for a new season on BBC America, and it's going to be tomorrow night. Now, hey, isn't our little friend Chris Hardwick, he's doing an After Who special now every week as well, right, Ralph?
I did not know that, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. BBC America keeps him very busy.
Yeah, absolutely. Ralph, you've been a long-time fan of Doctor
Since
Who. From
the 70s was when I jumped on board with Tom Baker was my doctor. And then I followed off and on through the other incarnations and then got back into it hardcore again when Christopher Eccleston came back, when they sort of rebooted the whole franchise.
I'm a far more recent fan than that. I started watching with David Tennant, and I watched some of Matt Smith's. I didn't see as much as Matt Smith's.
Oh, Matt Smith was so
but
awesome.
But I loved David Tennant as the Doctor.
Tennant was great. Smith was awesome.
Why did they change doctors? Is that important? Why does that happen? Why?
It's not... It wasn't originally part of the mythos of the Doctor, but when the first actor left the role...
Oh, so they sort of were forced.
They wanted to keep the series going, so right. They invented this conceit where the Doctor can, when he's mortally wounded or critically ill, he can regenerate his body. He can heal himself. And by regenerating every cell in his body, takes on a new appearance, and so he's the Doctor, but he looks brand new.
So you can do it endlessly.
And that's how you explain why the Doctor...
But it's basically the same character. Each guy's the same character.
Right. It's a Time Lord from the planet Gallifrey who has lived for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Right. Yes. Well, we thought it might be fun to take some calls from our listeners at 1-800-520-1067 because there are a lot of people like our man Kevin here, terrorist, who has never seen a Doctor Who episode and wants to tune in tomorrow night and find out what the hype's all about.
So
let's. Why don't we start with Sherilyn on line one? She actually has an explanation about the new Doctor as well for you, Kevin.
Okay, hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thank you. So Doctor Who's been on for 50 years.
Yes, it has.
Is it too late for me to get on board, and why do they have a new one?
it's never too late for you to get on board, especially since if you have a Netflix account, like most people do, they have every episode from The Who when they started again in 2005, starting with Christopher Eccleston, all the way up to all the current episodes
that
have aired.
I mean, who's got that kind of time?
You do.
Who's got that kind of time?
Yeah.
Like, I have that time. I go to college.
Good. Money well spent.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, so we're not saying you have to go back to William Hartnell, the original Doctor. You can just start with Christopher Eccleston and start there.
Okay.
And, you know, it's BBC, so they're short seasons, Kevin. It's not like a 22-episode season.
Only 12
episodes a season. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Sherilyn, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. We're going to move on. Let's go to Omar. He's in a place called Madeira. Familiar with that? Madeira?
It's one of the planets that the Doctor visited last season,
sure.
I think.
All right. Omar, you're on the air. Go ahead. What do you want us to know about Doctor Who?
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
Hi.
So, yeah, basically, in the last 50 years, Doctor Who thought that his home planet had been destroyed, and it was just recently found out that it was actually in someplace else. So you can pick up with the notion that now he's looking for his home planet and just forget everything that has passed.
Right. He moved it to another dimension.
Yeah, but he
like
was
you do.
Like, yeah, he was just tormented that he had thought he had destroyed his home planet himself.
Right.
And now he's just renewed his whole like reason for being by trying to find his home planet now.
Okay. He thought he was the last of the Time Lords because he destroyed Gallifrey as well as all the Daleks in order to stop the Time War.
Now, sure. Explain what a Dalek is. You're using terminology here, Ralph.
Daleks! Exterminate! 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 You know, the Daleks.
Okay.
Yeah, you can pick it up now, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin.
I'm not. Listen, let's remember who we're talking about here.
Because now the Doctor has to try to find Gallifrey. He has to find a planet. And he's happy to know he's not the last of his
Does he have, like,
kind anymore?
A ship? Like the USS
yes,
Enterprise?
He's got a ship?
I don't know! I'm asking.
Let's
Thank you for the call,
ship. Let's
Omar.
Go to Noah on line 5. I'll tell you all about the ship.
All right. Noah, hi.
Hello. Okay, so the spaceship is a blue phone box, as everyone knows. It's also a time machine.
Right.
The reason why it's a blue phone box from, like, the 1800s is because it's a camouflage.
Or the 50s, or the 1950s.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a camouflage effect, and it's broken. That's why it's stuck as a phone box.
Okay.
Usually, TARDISes, when they go to different places, they change to what they are, to what they would be able to fit in that time area.
But okay, honestly, I have no idea what you're saying. I'm not trying to be funny.
Kevin,
I don't
the
understand.
TARDIS, which is time and relative dimension in space, that's what it stands for.
Okay.
Yeah. Is a spaceship and time machine the Doctor uses to go through time and space.
Okay.
And it always camouflages itself to blend in with his environment.
Okay.
So because when the series started 50 years ago, he was in London in the early 1960s, it took on the shape of a police box.
Okay.
A phone box for policemen.
Got it.
And it got stuck that way because the TARDIS is broken, and so that's why it always looks like that.
Yeah, that's why it's stuck as always looking as a blue phone box.
But right. What's interesting to me, Ralph, is you can no longer use a phone box on the streets of London as camouflage because there aren't any anymore.
That's true.
So what are they going to do now, I wonder?
It's invisible sometimes.
I know we have
And it's larger on the inside than it is on the outside. That's the
way. I know we have zero time, but we have talked about the TARDIS. We've talked about the Daleks. We should also talk about the companions. And for that, let's go to Danny. He's on line 7 in Los Angeles. Kevin, you remember we had the beautiful actress Jenna Coleman in last year. The companion from Doctor Who. We loved her so much, right?
Yeah.
Well, Danny's going to explain what the companion's all about.
All right, Danny, go.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Good.
Hey, so the companion basically is what is the human that we kind of see the story through. So it's the, like, normally you have a protagonist like Luke Skywalker where, you know, you see the story through his eyes.
Right.
The companion is the person that we see, through which we see the Doctor.
Oh, so we don't see this show through the Doctor Who's eyes. We see it through the companion.
In fact, a lot of the Doctor remains a mystery to even the audience.
Yeah.
So we're supposed to judge him based on the protagonist. And it's different. Like every season, it's a different protagonist for the most part. And it's supposed to echo like the generation in which is viewing the show.
All right. Okay. I think I'm up to date.
You feel good about it, Kevin? You all set now?
Not the least.
See you tomorrow night, buddy.
That helped about 0%.
Exterminate.
Never gonna stop. Never gonna stop. Yeah.
always tell you guys, if we leave the back door open at K-Rock, anybody can just walk in off the street and get into the studio.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And that's what happens on a day like today when we look up and there's Rob Zombie, ladies and gentlemen, our friend from way, way back, musician and filmmaker, joining us in studio on the Kevin and Beach. How you doing, Rob?
I'm all right. I'm all right.
Last time we saw you was a little less than a year ago. You were in talking about what you had planned for Halloween. You had that thing out at the Fairplex, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great American Nightmare.
That was a lot of work.
So you're a little early for Halloween.
Wait, it was a lot of work. Was it worth it? Or was it just
too much work? It was a lot of work, so that's why I thought we'd do it in two locations this year. Because I thought, we should make it twice as hard.
We should make it harder. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't hard enough.
I was thinking when I saw you, it's a little bit too early to be talking about Halloween.
Good.
So there must
don't
be
bring
something
it up.
There must be something else on your mind today.
I don't know what the hell's going on with me. I'm in town right now because Sunday we're doing the 10th annual Johnny Ramone tribute at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. That's why I'm in.
Has he been gone that long?
Yeah, it's been 10 years.
Wow. And all of the original Ramones are gone now.
I know.
We lost another one since the last
Tommy
time we saw
died recently.
Tommy just died.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
We'll talk about that event in a second. Tell me about you and the Ramones. Were they someone who were important to you growing up?
Yeah, I always loved the Ramones. I mean, the Ramones, my story is like a lot of people's, where like the reason you thought you could start a band was because of the Ramones. You know, because, you know, you saw bands like Led Zeppelin and Queen, you're like, ugh, I can never do that.
Who could do that?
Yeah, right. That's like those guys are from another planet. But then you see the Ramones and you think, oh, that seems more like, and I don't mean that to take anything away from, but it seemed a little more down to earth and doable. And, you know, they're just amazing. And actually, they seem more amazing now to me than they did then. When you listen to their records, I mean, for guys who seem like they didn't know how to play and didn't know how to write songs, they sure knew how to write songs. I mean, those are the catchiest songs I ever heard.
When you started out in some of your early bands, were they Ramones-esque?
I never had any early bands. The first band I ever had was White Zombie. It was like I don't know. I just never did. It was like, finally, I just did it
for
real.
Well, that doesn't give us embarrassing YouTube videos of you as a teenager.
I know.
Then,
I never had bad, teased 80s hair. I always kind of looked the same.
He just started
even my high school yearbook photo, I'm not smiling. I just look like a grouch. Like I do in all photos. So luckily, you know, I don't have nothing to hide.
Were you already growing your hair like you do now way back then, too?
No, not till I was like 18. So that's
but
been
still,
a
yeah, that's yeah. A that very look. Very few people, whatever your look is, very few people settle on a look at 18 and stick with it their entire lives. That's a little bit unusual.
Yeah, yeah, I was lucky in that respect.
Did you know Johnny at all?
Yeah, I knew John. Well, the funny thing was, I would see John. I would see those guys on the streets because I lived in New York all the time, and I remember standing behind Johnny once at the post office for a long time. And then I became good with the Ramones toured with White Zombie back then. We took them out on tour, one of their final tours, and me and Johnny became really good friends for the last 10 years of his life. I had convinced him to move to L.A., so he moved to L.A., and we just were super close friends the whole time right till the last second.
That is fascinating. Yeah. So you spent a lot of time talking to this guy.
I mean, there were times when Johnny and his wife moved here that me and my wife, Sherry, we would have – it seemed like we had breakfast, lunch, and dinner with them.
No
kidding.
We were
always with them all the time. I mean, yeah, he was a great guy.
Was he a happy guy?
He was Johnny was a funny guy because he was so super smart. You know, like the Ramones have this image of like, oh, they're these dumb guys from Queens, but he wasn't. He was like incredibly intelligent. He was the most knowledgeable person I've ever met on movies and especially baseball. He actually had the largest baseball autograph collection in the world or something. Going back, and I mean, he auctioned it off towards the end, but no, he was super.
That is really
intellect.
Something.
Yeah, super.
The 10th anniversary Johnny Ramone tribute is going to be at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. It's going to be this Sunday. Doors open at 5:30. Are we raising money for something? Is that what it's about?
Yeah, it's for the Johnny died of cancer, so it's for his cancer foundation. And,
okay.
We don't really always keep hyping that because it always sounds depressing.
Right.
But that's what it's for.
But it's nice. It's a fun event, and it's also for a good cause.
For a good cause, and it's a great event. We're showing Devil's Rejects, the cast of the movie showing up. My band's playing a whole bunch of Ramone songs. And then we have like an all-star band with Steve Jones and Duff McKagan and all kind of people coming to jam. You know,
that sounds
Wayne
awesome.
Kramer from MC5 and different people. So
that'll be pretty
kick-ass.
That's a crazy
it's gonna be night. We've sold a lot of tickets. It's going to be a madhouse.
Well, let me give out the web address for folks who want to still try to get in.
Because tickets it's not enough of a madhouse yet. Give out the ticket information one more
time. Come watch a movie with dead people. Yes.
At just $20 at hollywoodforever.ticketfly.com. Again, hollywoodforever.ticketfly.com. And I can't believe that you're showing the movie. There's a Q&A with the cast members, including your beautiful wife, by the way, including Danny Trejo's going to be there. Dallas Page is going to be there.
Danny Trejo is going to be there.
Right. And then you're also going to be doing a kind of a Ramones supergroup tribute concert, too.
Yeah, my band is playing separately because we're like supergroups are a lot of work. So I'm like, my guys will just play with ourselves. We're going to get in there and we're going to rehearse and we'll be nail our set and whatever happens with supergroup is that's their business.
That's on them.
Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds like fun. It's this Sunday night at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. Rob Zombie is here. We'll take a quick break. He's got a new movie he's working on, too, that we want to hear about, too, called 31. And we'll do that when we return right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Rob Zombie in studio this with the here. Let me take that again. In studio with us here on K-Rock this morning, of course, the terrific filmmaker behind House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Reject and the Halloween movies. And you're working on a new film called 31, which, yes. Before we talk about what's unusual about this for you, talk about this amazing premise that you have for it.
Well, the premise came about last year, strangely enough, when I was doing the Great American Nightmare thing. I was standing around one night watching all the people running around screaming, and I was just watching people be scared is just hysterical. And there was clowns, like dirty, filthy, bloody clowns with chainsaws and things chasing people around. People just screaming and crying. I was like, I got to make a movie that somehow does that. And then I just came up with this idea for 31, which was just, five people get randomly kidnapped, and on Halloween they wake up, they're all being held hostage in this space, and they have to fight for 12 hours to survive, and they keep releasing these homicidal maniacs in the space, and they just happen to be clowns. I thought that would be good. Nothing could be worse than being trapped inside some abandoned building being chased by homicidal maniac clowns. And it just sounds
that old premise.
It sounds so ridiculous.
Wait, I think Woody Allen already did that, by the way, that movie.
Well, it's a little bit like Magic in the Moonlight, but not that close. But it literally was like, I was trying to get Broad Street Bullies made, and that was going on for 2 years, and it was a nightmare.
That's your
and
hockey movie you
yeah,
told us
which
about.
Which may or may not happen, who knows. But and, you come up with this idea and you pitch it in one sentence. Like, I go, I'm not going to any meetings. I'm not pitching this. I will get on the phone. I will say one sentence. If people are interested, good. And I would say that sentence and people go, that sounds good.
Okay.
I think I'm in.
Wow.
It's like you literally make up the stupidest thing off the top of your head and everybody's in.
Our
spend
horror
years
movies,
developing something and nobody cares.
I like that you're at the point where you just go, look, I'm not going to go meet people. I'll just say one sentence on a phone.
Take it or leave it.
Yay or nay. Let's move on.
Well, it's like everything else in life. I learned that if you are a team player and you feel like you're – they go, this idiot will do anything. We can just tear him apart. But if you go in there and you're a pain in the ass and they know you're just going to walk out of the room, it always gets done.
Yeah, well,
being nice does not work.
It does not pay.
Business.
That's a good message for the kids, I think, listening today.
Yeah. So today when you go to school, just slam that homework down and say, suck it. And you'll get an A.
So, Rob, I made reference to you're doing something a little different with this movie, and that is that you're crowdfunding. And I want to hear about that. But why you, a guy whose movies are made for fairly low budgets by Hollywood standards and are all profitable, why won't people just give you money to make whatever movie you like?
Well, things are not always as profitable as they seem, because what happens is there's other costs that nobody understands. Like, say, when I did Halloween, the movie probably cost $15 million.
All right.
And then they spend another 20 or so promoting it. So now your movie costs, $35 million.
Right.
And then as it earns it back, you don't earn every dollar back. You earn, 50% that they're getting. And suddenly, well, you got to make $80 million for us to call this even. So that's why
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's just crazy, crazy accounting. But you see it all the time where someone's from I remember it happened with Forrest Gump. People were suing for the residuals and they were claiming Forrest Gump has not made a penny yet. Really? Yeah. It made $700 million still claiming it's in the red?
That is hard to
imagine.
And
they do that all the time. Not they. Who are they? But that's just the way the system works. So it's really screwy.
All right, let's talk about your crowdfunding for 31. Where can people find it?
Boring numbers.
Where can people find it, the crowdfunding for 31, and what are you offering?
Well, we have a website set up. Obviously, it's www.rz-31.com, or go to my Facebook or whatever. You'll find links. And, I just thought, getting money to make these types of movies is not as easy as it seems, because – it's not kind of a PG-13 ghost movie. It's more of a hard R, super violent movie, which, maybe 10 years ago was kind of in fashion when I made Devil's Rejects and people were making things like Hostel. But now it's difficult. These things tend to go away because they always want things a little more family friendly. So I thought, crowdfunding could be a way. At first, I thought it was kind of weird. I was like, I don't know about that. That seems kind of weird. But then I thought, well, if we just make it so that people are sort of just – it's like kind of like going to a concert and buying a T-shirt. That T-shirt's what's paying for the tour to keep going because it's certainly not the record sales.
Right.
same thing here. You just happen to be buying the thing in advance of seeing the movie. So you're – you know, you –
What are some of the things that you offer for people?
Basically, I'm offering all the stuff that people always ask about anyway. How could I be in the movie? You know, how could I get a prop from the movie? How could I – whatever – you know, come down to the set and hang out. So these are the time. You know, basically, I'm offering the stuff people always ask about. So there it is. You know, and this stuff that ranges from $5 to $10,000. Because for $10,000, you can be an executive producer. And I figured, you know, there's always a bunch of rich people with nothing better to do than slap their name on a movie. Hey, what the hell?
You'll take it.
I don't expect some kid to shell that out. That's almost there. Ridiculous.
I was interested in this. Is one of the things I thought I read that you're offering is a hand – something hand-painted by you, Rob, like a clown portrait?
Oh, yeah. Well,
something?
I had done these they were sort of like production paintings of just different clown makeups that maybe we would use on the characters and – you know, each one is an original painting, and those are up there if anyone wants them.
Yeah. What's that going to cost me? I love clown paintings.
$1 million.
No,
done. I forget what they're up there for.
Done.
$2,000 or something. I don't know.
Okay.
I forget. I don't have it
for
all
for Rob Zombie original. So let's say
turn around and sell it for more. You know, what the hell?
let's say I'm going to put it on a wall next to my John Wayne Gacy's is what I'm going to do.
That's a perfect compliment.
Aren't you so honored to be in that category?
Didn't Red Skelton do clown paintings too?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So let's say you get the money you need. You make this movie. What's your timeline like?
Well, if all goes according to plan, which as we all know, it always does.
It always does. nothing goes wrong.
We'll start shooting after Christmas in the hopes to get it out around October 2015.
All right, so next Halloween, basically.
Okay, basically. All right.
I guess I could have simplified that.
Yeah. All right, so go to rz31.com or go to Rob's Facebook page if you'd like to contribute.
RobZombie.com, my Facebook page. Trust me, you can find it everywhere.
You can find it, and it sounds like an awesome way to get props from some of your movies and the original painting you mentioned and all sorts of cool stuff. The movie is going to be called 31, and then this Sunday night you'll be at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery for the 10th anniversary Johnny Ramone tribute. That sounds like a lot of
fun.
Yeah,
that's good. I mean, that's like $20 to get in at the door or $25 or something, but it's awesome with the movie and the bands and the this and that. That's a good night.
Super fun. Rob, we love you, man. It's always great to have
Thanks
you on the Kevin Show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin DeVito Show at 8:53.
Hope you guys are hungry. Harley's on his way in from Woo! Epic Mealtime.
Listen to Muggs. Couldn't be happier.
Yes! Got his attention.
You know, he doesn't just make food everywhere he goes for everybody. You know.
Well, I hope he brought enough for the room. That's what I'm saying.
That's his show and all. He does that, but he's also, you know.
If he doesn't come in here with a robot made out of cheeseburgers, I'm going to be very disappointed.
He's a man. He's a human being,
he's a
after
human
all.
Being.
For
That's
God's
correct.
Sakes. Harley, he's a Canadian, but still a human being.
Right after the top of the hour, we'll talk Epic Mealtime. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
I'm sorry. I just can't get over the fact that William Hung is married. I'm still trying to wrap my tiny little mind around that. American Idol legend William Hung has married the lovely John Teng in Alhambra, California, he confirms to People magazine. She's
a man or a woman he married?
It is a woman.
Okay.
And it's J-I-A-N, so Jan Teng. Okay. She's a fantastic wife, and I'm glad to have somebody to support me, he says. I think he means emotionally, although she is a licensed vocational nurse, and he apparently is an administrative assistant for the L.A. County Department of Public Health.
No kidding.
When he's not singing, she bangs.
Do we, I don't...
She banged!
I don't have that. Do you guys have that?
The original?
His big American Idol...
I don't think we have
the original audition? I don't believe we do.
I don't think we have
I have a little bit of him doing We Are the Champions, if you want to hear some
Please.
Of that.
Please,
bring it.
The great William Hung.
Pay my dues, time after time. I've done my sentence, but committed no crime.
It's pretty good. Pretty darn good.
How did he and Wing never do an album of duets
no
together?
No kidding.
They were the best.
It would have been a super group for all time.
You know, he released several albums.
He did?
Yeah.
Several meaning two or more? Three?
He says released multiple albums here.
Wow.
So it must be more than two, right?
Huh.
Scored a record contract, performed in front of crowds of 25,000 strong at one point before retiring several years ago. Do you know he was on American Idol in 2004?
was 10 wow. years ago. 10 really? Years ago he did that show.
I can't believe he didn't make it as a singer, you guys.
Me either. Sounds like he and Corky should have done a album of duets together. Taylor Swift is in trouble with black women.
Oh, no, she did.
As long as she's in trouble with somebody, I'm happy.
They are very unhappy with her new video for her single, Shake It Off.
Is this another you're appropriating our culture, Whitey? Is that what's going on here?
Worse. It makes them look bad because only the black girls are all twerking in the video.
Right.
And Taylor dresses up like a black girl, to which one female critic said she put on her black girl costume to be up against them, but she can't do it because she's white and delicate and goofy and all the black girls are all ghetto and twerking, and so it makes it's racist is what they're saying.
Not to defend her because I hate her.
Right.
But isn't she the dorky white girl that can't dance in that situation? I mean, is she really trying to make it look like they're bad?
They claim it's more the dancers surrounding her and the way they're depicted and treated that is racist versus
like she's
her performance.
Perpetuating the stereotype that black women can dance?
That only black women twerk and they're all ghettoed out and in their booty shorts and
oh, shit, here we go! It's on! Race war! Race war's on, everybody! It's going down! It's going down! Race war. Come
on. Not a race war. Race war. They're just upset with her. Although, in Taylor's defense, I have to say she has another scene where she dances with all ballerinas, and she can't dance there either.
Well, that's the supposed humor of that.
And all the ballerinas are white. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the classy dancers are white, all and right. the ghetto dancers are black.
All right.
So
I'm fine with
maybe.
Seeing her go down with this. I'm okay with that.
I'm just saying maybe. Maybe they could cut a bitch, is what I'm saying. That would be the way to settle it, I think. I think a shiv in the ribs of Taylor Swift would just solve everything and make everybody feel a lot better.
It would make us all feel better.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, I imagine that's the song she's performing Sunday night at the MTV Video Music Awards. I wonder if any of this controversy will affect whatever her plan is for that performance.
I don't know.
Who's she allowed to go out there and dance with now without getting somebody mad at her, I wonder.
I just don't care.
When she gets cut, that's all that really matters. Before I go, can we listen to The Moment with
no!
you today?
Just, come on, Ralph.
It's been almost an hour. I can't go an hour, man. I'm jonesing, man. You gotta give me a fix.
All right.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is to it must be, you know, infallible word of God or, you know, in a terrorist, you know, situation or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no, it's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was A Moment.
It just gets
Kevin.
Better. The more you hear it, gets, the better it gets.
That happened.
That is
And I would like to say that was edited, but it was not.
It was not. It's raw tape right there.
So.
Have you ever had a dream that you right. You had mm-hmm. you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
Yeah. That's me as a young Kevin right
That's
there.
Me as a 5-year-old
child.
Kevin, God damn it.
Today's celebrity birthday is Tori Amos is 51. Ty Burrell, so funny on Modern Family. He is 47. Adewale Akinoye Akbaje.
That may have been perfect.
I'm impressed. I don't even attempt to say it. I just play the tape.
Adewale Akinoye Akbaje.
That's pretty good.
47 years old today. Mr. Echo, as we know him from Lost, and Kristen Wiig turns 41. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Epic Mealtime, ladies and gentlemen, the number one online cooking show in the world with 6 million subscribers. And the ringleader of that crew is the sauce boss himself, our friend Harley Morenstein, who joins us in studio. Right now on the Kevin DeMean Show. Welcome back, Harley.
Thank
how are you,
Thank you so
man?
Much for I love it here. It smells so good in here.
I'm sure that's some grease coming out of beer mug's pores. I'm sure that's what you're smelling right
or
there.
Or maybe I'm smelling my own beard on my face.
That's a sweet beard.
Oh, it smells like pancakes in here. Wait, that's my own face.
Can we get you a kale salad or a wheatgrass juice or anything while you're here? Are you okay?
I should, though. You know I should.
Yeah, well. So, Harley, what's new with you, man? How you been?
We're doing a TV show now, Epic Meal Time. The internet show is now Epic Meal Empire, Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern on FYI. And we just go way bigger now. It's crazy. I mean,
why now? How is it bigger? What's the difference between the Empire and the Time?
How so, you could go bigger?
I'll tell you. On Epic Meal Time, we made a 12-inch like meat casserole that was shaped like a car with macaroni cheese stuffed inside of it.
Oh, right,
and it was the meat car. On Epic Meal Empire, we make the little bread Corvette, which is about the size of a golf cart, and I drive it, and we eat it all. So you could see how
Wait,
much bigger we go.
You drive it, and then you eat it all.
Yeah, we drive it, and then we eat it. Like, I drive it right up to the people that are eating it. I drive it right up to them. I get out, and then we all eat the car. Like, that's the difference in scale. Like, it's literally 100 times bigger.
It's so funny, because without the internet and now the TV show, you'd probably get put in jail for doing some of this nonsense.
Yeah. It's actually, I mean? It's funny. The audience makes it okay. Because if I was there every week, like, you know, drinking whiskey, making, like, you know, $1,000 meals, people would be like, something very wrong with him.
Right.
But since people watch, they're like, ah, it's a great show.
Yeah, that
it's
guy's
okay.
a star.
It's okay.
It's all good.
How are you doing? I saw the episode, and I'm so confused. I don't know if it's aired or not or what, but you got the ambulance, and then you built the contraption on top of the ambulance that shoots food out at people, whether they want it or not.
The trusty burger turret.
Have you been using that, and how effective is that for you, Harley?
It's effective in terms of that it shoots burgers. Very effective.
Uh huh.
Why the function of shooting burgers? Why you would do that? I don't know. We haven't really figured out when we'll need to
need
shoot
that.
Burgers. Yeah, you don't.
You don't need
the world
why.
Doesn't need to
but
shoot burgers.
But you've got it
right?
if you need it.
No, we're saying you don't need to know why. Just,
oh yeah,
it's
just
cool.
do it. Oh, that's
it.
Yeah, that's how I got started. Right. I was like, let's just do it. And actually, the Hambulance, as we call it, is because Epic Meal Empire, the TV show, I kind of pitched it as Ghostbusters. So people need an emergency. They need an emergency meal. We hop in our emergency vehicle, the four of us. We drive over there. We have like a hot sauce backpack. You know, we have a flamethrower. We have all these crazy gadgets and contraptions. And we're kind of like Ghostbusters. That's how we played it. So the Hambulance is like our emergency vehicle, like the Ecto-1. And I was literally on a whiteboard drawing. I like drew a disco ball inside. I drew speakers on top of it. I drew a burger turret on top. And I just doodled it, and I gave it to the art directors, and, like, they made it happen. They, like, come back
the
with this ambulance.
Life.
I'm like, it's here. It's
it
like an
exists.
Ambulance. Yeah, it's an ambulance with a pig nose on it and, like, a bacon weave grill. And it's the Hambulance. I'm like, it's real. Like, it happens. It's TV. TV did this.
Tell me about Natalie, because I'm uncomfortable in my pants when she joins you on set.
Oh, man.
So Natalie is just like on Ghostbusters, we had Janine. There was Janine.
Right.
So Natalie brings us the client. She brings us, you know, like, oh, this week it's an elementary school that wants you guys to cook for them. So you're going to make something for kids. So, like, in the
they
first.
They don't let you loose with elementary kids, though.
Well, in the first episode, it is. It's
Harley
it's
used to
an
be a
elementary
teacher,
school
remember?
Class.
He's cool with
kids. No, I'm not saying he's not cool with kids. I'm saying I'm not sure any school wants to take that on and go, yeah, you know what? This is a good idea. Let's have that guy come on.
Yeah, it's definitely a mistake by them. I don't doubt that they regret it.
Okay, good.
But the first episode, and it's on. Epic Mealtime YouTube, we deliver a tater bot to a classroom because they like tater tots, they like grilled cheese sandwiches.
Right.
So we make a robot out of tater tots, grilled cheese sandwiches, cheeseburgers, and it's like, you know, 5.5 feet tall, licorice arms and stuff like that.
That sounds like
and
the best thing
so
I've ever heard.
We feed it to the kids. Yeah, it was a good one. Cinnabattleship was my favorite. An 8-foot battleship made of Cinnabons with like a cream cheese frosting churro cannon.
That's amazing.
Cream cheese frosting churro cannon. That's a real thing now.
That's gotta be 100,000 calories. No
joke. Oh, it's way beyond that.
Put a cannon on everything, don't you?
Yeah. And since we made it a battleship, we put ham on it. Just so I
could be like all hams on deck. Literally, we alter the meal just so that I have that line. So I could be like all hams on deck. Fire the cream cheese frosting churro cannon.
Those little kids, when you bring in the tater bot, by the way, it's like they had been in jail and had not had a meal in a month. I mean, they just descended on that thing, didn't they?
They did. It was really weird. They do this, like, the kids do this move where they can scooch the chair forward, like, without getting off the chair.
Right.
And when we brought the tater bot in, they all started doing that. It was really weird. All these kids, like, sliding forward on chairs. It was, like, really demonic and strange.
Like, what's happening right now?
Yeah, I was like, they're alive. They're coming.
Now, why don't you allow napkins in the lab? Why are you only allowed to wipe your hands on somebody else's clothes? And how do you keep friends that way, Harley?
Every decision that he makes is nonsense. That's why we love him so much.
And it's no silverware either. You know, you can only eat with your hands, Kevin.
Yeah, yeah. We got a guy on the show who does a knife and fork, though. He does.
Oh, that. There is one special.
Oh, he gets destroyed on the comments. But I was like, get it together, man. You're not mad enough to be here. But that's like, he loves that. Like, he keeps that going. He always like cuts a little piece. He's like a gigantic 300-pound Oreo, and he cuts like the corner with a knife and fork and takes a little bite.
But I'm just saying, aren't napkins, isn't that just basic hygiene? You wouldn't be violating any kind of spirit of the group or something like that if you were allowed to just dry up.
You know, yeah, I have a Brillo pad on my face. Like,
yeah,
all around
you
my...
You got a built-in napkin.
Yeah,
it's called
like
a beard.
All around my lips and stuff, so I'm good, you know.
Okay.
You know, I gotta be honest. When I could eat something, I could eat, like, you know, something at lunchtime, and all day I could take a napkin to my beard and wipe it, and no matter how many times you do it, there will always be, like, a little bit of sauce.
Yeah. That's gross.
Yeah,
that's
I know. You know what? You know what that is? That's the price of being a man, though. Gross. You're a little bit gross.
All right. Price of being a man, ladies and gentlemen. Standing up. Harley is here from the Epic Meal Empire. These times make no sense to me. I have to be honest. But according to FYI, it airs at 10 p.m. in the East and 11 p.m. in the West on FYI.
No, that's bad math.
It can't be possible, right?
7 p.m. on the West.
Yeah, well, you got to get some sort of proofreader on the FYI website then or something, because that's what they're telling us. But
you know, someone's going to get punched in the gut.
Epic Meal Empire is the show. More with Harley when we return right after this on K-Rock. Harley Morenstein in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the leader of the Epic Meal Time. Epic Meal Empire airs Saturday nights at 11 on the FYI network. In your world of the Epic Meals, Harley, what are the four basic food groups?
Real quick, FYI, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. 7
but
p.m.
we're in the
Pacific.
West.
7 p.m. 7 p.m. Pacific.
Okay.
All right.
The four food groups on Epic Meal Time, we have all episodes are either fast food, candy, barbecue.
Right.
We actually have this grid. It's we take things. We'll take like lasagna, pizza, you know, casserole, and then we'll take on the other axis of the grid. We'll put like, you know, fast food. We could even put sushi,
right?
Pizza. And then when you match it up, you get things like sushi lasagna, which is different from lasagna
and that
sushi.
Sounds terrible.
That does sound awful.
Guys, you don't know until you've tried it.
True.
Come on.
That's true.
Listen, do you like sushi?
Not much, but
oh,
I would
you'll hate it then.
Okay. There are certain kinds I like, but not much.
But you like lasagna?
Love.
Well, if you like sushi and you like lasagna, then you like sushi lasagna.
All right.
And lasagna sushi.
That does seem to – I'm following that. That does
now, I know that that bacon is on the very, very top of the food chain. I mean, that's the holy grail of Epic Mealtime. What is the thing that you combined bacon with that shouldn't have worked but did?
It's like bacon is it's funny. It works with everything. It works with absolutely everything. And you could wrap it around things. You could stuff it in things.
But not once did you think this might actually taste bad.
I don't. I'm trying to remember. Like, huh. I'm trying to think though the times that we've poured alcohol on it. It was still good. Chocolate, obviously, an easy one. If it ever didn't work, it was just because the other food was so not good that bacon wasn't going to make it better.
So it's not bacon's fault.
It's not bacon's fault.
We made turtle soup once. I hated it. All the guys loved it. The other guys loved turtle soup. I hated it. There was bacon in it, though, but I still hated the turtle soup. It was like eating bacon from a swamp is how I thought of it. The guys didn't think that, though. They were like, it's so good, turtle soup. I was like, never again. I'll never eat a turtle again.
So, Harley, you were telling us off the air right when you walked in that you are in the same position I'm in and that we both have been challenged in the last day for one of these ice bucket challenges.
Yep.
Thanks, Lisa,
You're welcome, by the way.
First of all, I thought I was going to escape having to do it.
My pleasure.
My question to you, Hurley, is because of the light of work that you're in, are you tempted to pour something other than ice cold water on your head?
Yeah, I thought of a lot of things. See, yesterday we were making a creme brulee with a flamethrower.
Sure.
So we had, like, you know, it's just a regular day of work. So we had these, like, huge flamethrower suits. So I thought it would be really awesome to take boiling water and dump it on my head in this protective heat suit.
That's a strange ice bucket challenge.
Yeah, it would be like, I thought it would be like the fire and ice bucket challenge type. Okay. Like some little, like, hey, you know, everyone wants me to do it epic. I'll pour boiling water on me.
Right.
Anyways, the suit protects you from fire, but not boiling water.
What?
Yeah,
good
strange.
That you found that out now before you did it.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Yeah, so I stopped and started to think, and I'm at a loss because I got to do one. I got to do one, and I'm late, so I definitely have to donate as well.
Right.
So I got to donate, and I have to dump ice, and I guess I got to do that today.
And a lot of people have already done it, so now you got to kind of try to make it unique.
Right.
Yeah.
You might have to dump bacon.
I literally thought, I was like, you know what? Like, I might just be like, hey, I missed the 24 hours, so I'm going to donate.
Right.
And then donate, and then just close my laptop and dump a bucket of ice on my laptop. But I was like, that's counter. That's not... I'm better off like selling the laptop and donating. Like, you know, it just didn't make any sense. I was like,
there's so much pressure on us now.
Yeah.
Hurley, you also mentioned that you have never missed a week of Epic Mealtime on the Internet Channel.
No, since
that is astonishing.
Since October 2010, we have not missed a single week. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not television. There's no breaks in seasons or anything like that. It's just every week we made a promise.
52 weeks a year.
And now, for the last year and a half, we've been doing about three videos a week. So,
but wow. Isn't there a time where you're on vacation in Australia or something?
No.
And you can't do it? You're
no
separated
vacation.
From your team? No vacation.
No, we've made a dedication to this. No vacation. And if we do vacation, well, then we just film like 10 videos the week before.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's a commitment to excellence, ladies and gentlemen, right there.
That's a commitment to my gut. Because actually, I realized yesterday, I have an awesome six-pack. I just keep it in this protective soft shell casing. Just to, like, keep it protected.
I would imagine, Hurley, when you're out on the street and you know, your show's been on for a long time online, so you're very recognizable to a lot of internet users. I would imagine the two things you get the most are, hey, aren't you that guy from Duck Dynasty, obviously, is number one. And then B is, you're not as fat as I thought you'd be, right? That's what everybody has to say to you, because you look pretty good when you walk.
Well, because I'm like 6'6", 270 pounds, so when people see me, they're always like, whoa, you're so much bigger than... When I'm looking at you on my iPhone.
And you're like, really?
Yeah.
That does make sense.
Yeah. And, yeah, no, I get that. I'll get Opie from Sons of Anarchy. I've gotten that, like, I've actually fully taken a picture with a couple of people.
Really?
They're like, Opie? And I'm like, yeah.
Sure.
And they're like, let's get a picture. I'm like, for sure, man. And then, like, I could just imagine them be like, yo, check out this picture I got with Opie. And someone be like, dude, that's not Opie. That's that lasagna dude from the internet. You idiot.
All right, we're out of time. So tomorrow night is the Taterbot episode, right, on Epic Meal Empire.
No, tomorrow night is we challenge Fabio Viviani, a professional chef, to a cook-off. So it's a very special episode. It's really awesome.
Nice. Yeah. Pressure's on.
Yeah.
But there's no professional chef out there that can do what you and your boys can do.
That's the whole thing, is he cooks an epic meal, and we cook his signature recipe, and we see who did whose better.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I love it. Well, it airs at 7 o'clock tomorrow night on the FYI Network. And don't forget, you auto-subscribe to the YouTube channel for Epic Mealtime with new videos every week. Hurley,
Can I just interrupt real quick, Bean? I know we have to wrap things up, but FYI is what? I've never gone there.
FYI is a new network. The Bio Network became FYI, so I know it's channel 266 on DirecTV. I don't know all the numbers, but FYI is a new network.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Just wanted to find out where
so now you know, FYI.
Good question.
Yes. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I love it.
Always. Thank you, man.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:40. Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat. What am I hearing? What's that noise?
It's the end of the song.
It's a ship, man.
It's a ship.
Oh, ships. Okay. I thought we were past
that.
Hey, Ralph, we got time for the new moment with before we get into it.
Come on.
Hell.
We've done that
to the
Come on. Have we ever played one like six times?
Has there
times
ever
in one
been
day?
One more awesome?
Not many.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from, I'm not positive what the answer is, to, it must be, you know, infallible word of God, or, you know, in the terrorist, you know, situations, or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no. It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was A Moment with Kathy.
Gets better every time I hear it.
Why?
Why don't you have a one-man show?
Why?
That's what I want to know.
Why does that happen?
I want
Why
you to stand terrorists? On a stage
Why terrorists?
For an hour and just do stream of consciousness. Terrorist situation?
I don't.
Do you know what it was in retrospect you were trying to say?
Well, I think I was trying to get to the UFO leap of faith. If it's something that's unidentified, some people will jump right to it's an alien, mm-hmm. instead of it just being unidentified. Where did the word terrorist come from? I really have no idea, unless I was just trying to stall with any
terrorist
word.
Terrorist situation.
Any word that came to my mind because I couldn't think. I don't know.
Terrorist situation.
I really don't know.
All right, just one more time, then we're done. Then we're done with it.
I don't believe you.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from, I'm not positive what the answer is, to, it must be, you know, infallible word of God, or, you know, in a terrorist, you know, situation, or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no. It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
Yes. We will never know the answer. That is for
we'll
sure.
We'll never know the answer to that one.
Us to never know the answer to.
All right, Ralph. It's all yours.
I can't help you with anything.
Boy.
Back to you.
It makes your heart sore. The effect you have on me with those. My heart soars.
Was that flying like an eagle?
I thought you said sore, like hurt.
No.
Oh, okay.
Makes my heart soar like an eagle. I fly above the clouds.
My heart is sore, the other one.
Well,
or I'm in pain.
Well, all true artists have to, have to hurt for their art.
Suffer for my craft.
That's right. Hey, I want to give you a quick heads up. You know, Sons of Anarchy Season 6 is available on Blu-ray and DVD next week on the 26th. To celebrate, they are doing a bikini motorcycle wash.
Yay!
All right.
Down at Bartles Harley-Davidson, which is on Lincoln Boulevard in Marina Del Rey. 4141 Lincoln Boulevard, Marina Del Rey, California. It is this Saturday, tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. You can bring your bike by, and the Sons of Anarchy Bikini Girls will wash your bike for you, free of charge. That song will be playing while they
watch that. I watch the bridge on FX, and yes. So I've seen many, many trailers for Sons of Anarchy, final season, September 9th. Right, can't wait.
This world.
Girls are going to be bikinis, shaking their ass, soaping your motorcycle very slowly with a sponge, soaked through with soapy warm water.
The crow flies straight.
And they'll start grinding up and down on the seat while they're washing the handlebars.
It's happening right now.
Get a little bit of a boner.
I don't know, but I'm strangely turned on.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'm unhappy about it.
I can paint a picture right there.
Not happy about that.
Yes, indeed.
That was almost a terrorist situation.
Terrorist situation? Aliens?
I can't.
I don't know. Taylor Swift is in trouble with black women.
As long as she's in trouble, I'm happy.
Me too.
Don't care with who.
Hope they cut a bitch. That's all I hope. It's about her new video, this Shake It Off video, where she tries to fit in with a number of subcultures, including African-American girls who are twerking, and she crawls between their legs and looks up like, oh, what's going on here? I don't know what's going on. Well, there's a large portion of African-American women who are unhappy with this video, including one that says Taylor is perpetuating black stereotypes to the same demographic of white girls who hide their prejudice by proclaiming their love of the culture. Boom! That just happened.
Wait, you hide your prejudice by proclaiming your love of the culture?
Yeah, because Taylor is putting on what one commentator calls her black girl costume with her bling and her short shorts and her baseball cap, trying to look all twerky. That she's, in fact, mocking the very culture she supposedly is adopting in her video.
I don't understand what you just said, but I'm on their side.
I don't either, but I want her brought down.
I do too.
No justice, no peace.
Correct.
That's what I'm saying.
Correct.
I want bad things.
I'm siding with whoever is against Taylor Swift.
Right.
Doesn't matter what group.
That's the point.
We're with you.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad. I miss Aaron Paul and Breaking Bad.
Oh, that was such a good show.
To celebrate, you know, the Emmys are happening on Monday. He is going to do a Breaking Bad fan scavenger hunt. He's done a couple of these, and he's going to do another one this weekend. It's going to be Breaking Bad autographed scripts, posters, action figures, some real cool Breaking Bad art hidden all over the Hollywood area. Aaron Paul wrote on his Instagram, "We couldn't have done it without you. Happy hunting." And he's going to give out clues, and you can go on a scavenger hunt if you're a Breaking Bad fan and pick up all this cool swag all over the place this weekend.
And meth. Too.
And no, I don't believe any meth is.
They're hiding meth all over Southern California.
I do not believe meth is included, but it is very cool for fans of the show to be able to first interact with Aaron on his Instagram, but also pick up some cool
meth.
Breaking Bad stuff. Not meth. There's no meth. That's what I'm saying. No meth. Speaking of no meth, former Stone Temple Pilots frontman Scott Weiland is not in jail, no matter what they say. TMZ reported a story that the cops picked him up in Beverly Hills for stealing razor blades and a Rite Aid, and they had crystal meth on him. The guy's been in jail for the past 4 weeks because he can't raise the $95,000 bail. He told the police when he was arrested, "I'm Scott Weiland from Stone Temple Pilots." The cops apparently said, "Okay," and put him in jail, and then released a statement saying they had Scott Weiland of Stone Temple Pilots in jail.
Oh, so this isn't...
Fingerprint him or anything?
I was going to say...
Well, that's how they finally found out, Lisa, 4 weeks later, when Scott Weiland posted a video saying, "Actually, I'm touring and writing and recording my new album. I'm not in jail. Here I am not being in jail."
This is so incompetent.
TMZ went back to the sheriff's department and said, "Scott Weiland says he's not in jail." They go, "We're looking at him right now in the cell. We can see him. He's in jail." Wow, they say, "Well, you might want to double check on that." "All right." And then they fingerprinted the guy. It turns out he's Jason Michael Hurley.
That's shocking. I'm with Lisa. That's crazy ineptitude.
He will now have to face additional charges of giving false information to the cops. So next time you get popped, what I'm saying is just tell him you're Scott Weiland, because apparently you don't believe that. Nuts. And more music news. You're going to have to wait a little bit longer for the new Weezer album.
How come?
The band says everything will be all right in the end. The title of their new project will be delayed 1 week. Instead of arriving on September the 30th, the album is now set for release on October the 7th. So you have to wait a little bit longer. Apparently the paint is still drying on some of the CDs, so you got to wait. What are you doing over there? What conversation are you guys having over there?
We have a clip. Do you want to keep asking?
You have a new Weezer.
Do you want to keep asking what we're doing over here?
The new Weezer on?
Ebola. Ebola. Don't touch your friend. No touching. No eating. Something's dangerous.
You needed an extra week to record that song and add it before they put the album out. I wasn't going to go. I wasn't, but you said.
I did.
That's on you, man. It's on you.
All right. One more time for moment with Kevin, and then we got to get out of here.
You said, honestly, then that was the last time.
Then we got to get out of here. After this, then we're leaving for sure. After this.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from "I'm not positive what the answer is" to "it must be, you know, infallible word of God" or, you know, in the terrorist, you know, situations or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no, it's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
What a sucker Kevin is.
Have a great weekend, everybody. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Have a great weekend. On Monday, we do have tickets for you in the front row to see Nine Inch Nails and Soundgarden. So we will see you on Monday.
There is a situation. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Like it be. Yeah, like it be.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.
Totally right.
Just like the other one.
I think we're going to tone down the language, right?
This one seems to be about to quit.
You're going to have to speak in English.
I need another hit.
Oh, my brother, you know...
Magda used to make me moist when I watched the show. I admit it, I would get moist when I watched the show. Only white man ever did that to me. Mike Duggan.
Roll, roll, roll.
Why?
Just like the other one.
Guilty, 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 guilty.
This one seems to be about sense.
About beer and pint.
I don't have another sense.
You're missing the whole point. This show is a joke. You are a joke.
But don't bogart that joint.
Yeah, tatas. Woo!
Just pass it around.
You just got me seriously horny.
This is the
worst summer ever. Hey, Muggs, you're going to have to tell me on the air if it's time to go because I hear nothing.
Time to go.
We did it! We did it! We did it! Yay! Ali Seema.
We did it!
Yay! Woo! Hooray! We did it!
Nice work, you two. You know they're laughing at you, right?
Hey, come on, cut it out. Come on, what are you, come on.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
That was hardcore, baby.
Thug Life.